Voilà, voilà, voilà. Voilà, 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 wat sê julle my sekeners? Hoe gaan dit met julle? Voilà, voilà, voilà. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, my audience. How are you guys doing? Today is Monday. It is the 1st of September 2025. We are officially springy. We are officially springing and we are officially within and we are officially doing nice things. So it is what it is. Good evening to you. How are you doing, my beloveds? My name is Elizabeth. I'm also known as the matriarch during the week because I do matriarch kind of things. Now, these matriarch kind of things, ne, are those deep conversations that you guys don't want to talk about, but you guys keep listening because, I'm just saying. Because, I'm just saying, it's one of those amazing days. It's one of those amazing times. It's one of those really, 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 really nice and amazing things. And we're just trying our best to survive. Surviving is really one of those, hard tasks that we have to do, and we are trying, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, today is Monday, so we're going to have a story time kind of Monday. We're going to be talking about this other guy that did this other thing and this other girl that did this other thing, and we're going to be talking about that. But before that, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can call in on 083-288-401, and we're going to be doing a murder mystery Monday. So we're going to be doing murder mystery Monday, and I don't know, maybe we might do murder mystery week, but I don't know. I'll think about it, considering all the obstacles involved, considering your mental well-being, considering it's spring, and considering it's September. It's nice here, man. It's very nice here at Eagle FM, and we're having a nice night, and I'm wearing a crop top. You know, I'm just embracing my femininity. You know what, Nem? Lately, I've been feeling all kinds of stuck, like in my own body. But you know what? Before I start talking about my own things, Nem, let's quickly go pee pindi and I will revert back.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social. Alrighty. So, ladies and gentlemen, I was most talking about myself. Okay, cool. So, lately, I think that ever since I had my daughter, I don't know if you guys relate out there. You guys can call in and also tell me, which are you not alone, matriarch? Hey, you're not alone. Oh my goodness. Because here, you guys, the way you guys are leaving people in the desert, it's not sexy. It's not appealing. It's not nice, but okay. Yeah, ne? So ever since I had my daughter, I've been feeling all kinds of uncomfortable. I've been feeling all kinds of uncomfortable. Which anger? First of all, I had a near-death experience. And then after that, I started working out. To be honest, this is something that I didn't tell the doctor. I didn't tell the doctor. I just said, yeah, it came about. But anyhow, So, after I had my ordeal and all of that, I decided that, you know what? I want to get back in shape and I want to look nice for me, because we are almost a selfish bunch. So we don't really say that we want to look nice for the people that we are with, because we don't want to seem insecure to ourselves. I don't know why we don't want to be, just be honest. You want to look nice for the men, but now you must be like, nah. So we don't wanna, I wanna look nice for myself, and I wanna look great for myself, and yada, yada, yada. So I decided that I'm going to go on a workout thing. And this workout thing is now me trying to get my body in shape. And then I'm, you know, I'm starting to get into the rhythm of being myself again. Because when somebody accommodates your body for like 9 months, especially the last few months, it is not nice. The people that say that, oh man, pregnancy is so amazing and stuff, is most probably people that wanted, the people that, I'm going to be a hater and I'm just going to say it, right? It's most probably for people that have been wanting and struggling to get a child for a long time. Because if it is something that you want, right? Because we all want motherhood. Some of us all want motherhood. But we are also not allowed to complain about the things that motherhood comes with. Now, motherhood comes with stretch marks. Some of us, it comes with obesity. It comes with okunanger. It comes with cravings. It comes with hair loss. Like, imagine, right? You develop alopecia during your pregnancy, and that's where your hair just falls out and you just get bald spots, you know, the baby just takes all the edges. And you know how people say things like you're glowing and your hair, or you got a bonus or whatever, right? They say all those things, but they don't talk about the hair loss. They don't talk about the nasty stuff. They don't talk about how your skin changes. They don't talk about the fact that you can't get like antibiotics, deep antibiotics that can help with yeast infections. So it's like yeast infections. I saw this lady on the gram, and she was talking about the fact that her whole entire 9 months of pregnancy was just yeast infections. It was just itching and burning, itching and burning, itching and burning. And apparently, motherhood is so beautiful. Oh my God, you're so glowing. Oh, wow, you're carrying it well. And yes, some of us did carry it well. We carried it well. It was nice, until it wasn't, you know. It was nice for the first couple of months. The first months are hell. And then there comes the middle months, where the middle months, it's like you are resting. You are in between. You are in transit. You are in between countries. And that's like month 4, 5, and 6. You are in between countries. And then month 7 comes with new problems. It's either the feet are swelling. It's either the what is giving, what. It's either, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. And somewhere, somehow, you do get some of us. It's not all of you guys, but some of us, we do get into the swing of, not knowing exactly who we are. And that was the funk, or that is the funk that I'm in. I know exactly who I am, but I'm always tired. I'm so exhausted. And even though, I've got assistance, you know, I'm really not doing this alone. I'm not parenting my children alone. I really have good help and good partner and good everything. I'm still exhausted, because there are certain times where children are specific about who does what. So I'm going to be specific with my mom, and I'm going to be mommy, 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 mommy. And this can go on. Like, my daughter is very resilient. I don't know. My daughter has all the traits of her baby that I don't like, and she has all the traits of me that I don't like about me. So she's a combination of things that we don't like, but we love her. Right? So she is stubborn, the type of stubborn that is going back and forth with her dad. Like, and she can't talk. So it's just nyabla. And she's going back and forth with her dad, and her dad is like, but why don't you listen to me? And I'm like, well, if not listening is the thing, well, if the shoe fits, though. And with me, I'm strict. I'm like the strict parent. Like, no, we're not doing that. So, But with all of that, motherhood has been great. Familyhood has been great. Loving each other has been great. Loving the children has been great. You know, there are a few offenses here and there, but all in all, like, we're in a good space, right? But how I feel internally, right? How I feel internally with myself has been somewhat of me shadowing it. I've been shadowing it for a while, and I've just been saying, like, no, I'm going to get back on track, like, after a few years or when the baby's bigger, I'm going to get back on track, and I'm going to do great things, and I'm going to work on my body, and I'm going to work on me. But the problem is that I'm so overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by work. I'm overwhelmed by the family. I'm overwhelmed by me. I'm overwhelmed by my aching body. My body has not stopped aching for the past 2 years, and it's going to be 2 years now, and it has not stopped aching. I'm literally every single day I'm in pain. My body is just paining, and people don't understand that. And for a while there, I had most now the problems with the high blood pressure. So it was giving me dizzy spells. It was giving me headaches and what, and it was giving me this and was giving me that, swollen fingers, swollen feet. And I just didn't feel like myself. And one day my heart was always like just pounding. And one day I was like, whoa. I think I'm going to die here. Let me go to the hospital. And I tell the man, Kuja, let's go to the hospital. And he's like, what? What's up? Are you not feeling well? I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling well. I look okay, but I know that there's something that's up that's not okay. Then we got there and my blood pressure is like at 160, 170. So that's like, we are racing to the 200s to go and die, right? And this is my body. So I'm highly uncomfortable in my body. I'm highly uncomfortable with just being me. I have not felt like I'm myself in such a long time. And this long time is like 2 years or 2 years and 9 months. Yeah. I haven't felt like myself in such a long time. And I don't know if you guys also feel like that, but hey, hi. Hello. Can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at your feet. There's such a distance between us and a million miles. Anyway, so hello from the other side. All right, if you would like to call back like the previous caller did, yeah, but at least say hello, you know. The number in studio is 083-288-401. So I've been feeling all kinds of outs with my body. And it's not just my body, it's my mental health. It's not just my mental health. I'm suffering. My work is suffering. I'm like literally like I'm on that burnout. Like burnout. Like I'm burning out here, guys. I'm burning out. Like for real. Like, to be honest with you guys, mokupota oshiri, I'm burning out. I'm 90% exhausted. 90% exhausted, 10% pushing and fighting, 10% praying. And I know that there's a believer out there that like, but matriarch, you should be 90% praying and 10% pushing. Like, I get what you mean, girl. But if the struggle is struggling, right? The prayers are strong. They're just not bigger. They're potent. Potent. Dynamite comes in small packages, you know? They are potent, but they are just like, they are part of the 10%. 90% of the time I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I'm burned out. I'm overwhelmed. I'm everything. And part of that is also I'm sick. Boom. Brah. So one day, before now, like, because I thought that, because I'm seeing all of you guys, like, you guys give birth and you guys just jump straight onto the horse. A horse. Yeah. You guys just jump straight on. In 3 months, when baby is starting to sit down, you've got a flat stomach. And I'm like, what? You got a flat stomach. You are married. You've got like 4 kids. You guys go to Dubai. You guys go to Amsterdam. You guys have date nights and you work 10 jobs. And I'm like, am I comparing myself to others? Most probably, yes, yes. Most probably I am. I wouldn't want to admit it because, I mean, come on, I'm the matriarch. I'm queen mother of the tribe. Mara, yes, I'm comparing myself to you guys' flat stomachs. I'm comparing myself to you people with three kids and it looks like you just stepped out of a milky shower. And I'm like, wow, what kind of scrub nation life is that? Let's, like, yo, I'm looking at you guys like, Mutumukuru menji vatere ami, you know. Mutumukuru menji vatere ami, you know, because I'm like, yo, guys, you guys are doing the most, man. You guys look amazing. I'm not even hating and I'm not even jealous. I'm like, wow, you guys look amazing. For you, new moms that just, you know, like snap into it. And I'm not even talking new moms in terms of the baby is new. The baby's the first baby that came out of your body. I'm just talking about the baby is young, but you still have time for self care and self love and self preservation. I get it. Like, I'm like smitten by you guys. I want you guys to teach me that. So I decided, like, I think it was like 3 months after ooh, baby girl started, like, you know, she was bigger. Because we nullified the first month, right? We nullified that month, which I wasn't even with her. Like, we nullified that month. And then we moved to the next month, which was officially the first month. So when she was 4 months, I started working on myself. So part of the working on myself was doing the exercises that I used to like. So most of you guys know that I'm not a thin girl. I'm not a slender girl. I'm those herero hands. You know, like breast just came now, guys. Breast really honestly just came now. And I think that this is influenced by children. But back in the day, if you guys see my pictures and all of that, you guys will know that chest was not chesting. I was really just one of those herero hands with a big bum and thighs and height, and then chest is nyangwa nyangwa, of which is such an odd thing because of my mother's, my maternal side. My maternal side is a breast full. Eh? My maternal side is the type of sides that have like a 25 liter on one breast. 25 liter here, 25 liter here, and that's my maternal side. But when you meet my paternal side, my father's side, you will see that I take after them a lot within structure, you know, and we don't really have chest like that. Like, ooh, no. And yeah. So that was basically it from my maternal side. I know. I got the looks from my maternal side, and I got the hair from my maternal side. And then also the sway, because our people are very sway. Our hairy side is very chilled, like too chilled. For my Ndonga girl vibe. You know, Ndonga girls are bae, Ndonga girls are bae. Tantengeni, Ndonga girls are bae, Ndonga girls are bae. Gekam shish, please move out the way. We pull up to slay. Skrr, skrr, Ndonga girls are bae, Ndonga girls are bae. Drop it low, low, low. Drop it low, low, low. You know, my initial job in my life is Karongerere Ndonga. So, you know, this is me putting myself in the good graces of that they were, you know, just one day. So even when I submit my CV there, and he'll be able to vouch for me, because I know this one is a hard working. Oharongo nudeginini shironka dananguka. Inantara rofani tamutipamwe, tamutipamwe, untunguno, ogoko helelo, tamtinga yunmo. Yeah. So I decided to do the exercises that I was comfortable with prior. Nah. So I used to exercise a little bit to keep to that figure that you guys know, that other one with the yellow, eh? To keep to that figure and to just maintain that one. So part of it was planks, and then it was, I don't do squats. Because I'm not about to have Ofurundudu. I already have Kilimanjaro, guys. Like, even if you guys don't want to notice, don't want to see it, I already have Kilimanjaro. I'm not about to enhance Kilimanjaro so that it can be Mount Everest, what. I don't even know which one is bigger, but I don't want that area. I don't even want it to be firm. I don't want it to be round and smooth. I don't want anything. I don't touch those areas. Like, I've already come to terms with the fact that no matter how thin I get, eh, my hips will never become small. Ever. Eh? I can be thin. Eh? Mara, I just have Sarah Botmas. Is it Batmas? I have that Sara going on behind. So I decided to do the exercises that I'm comfortable with. And these exercises are things like, oh, I started to do not squats, but planks. I started to do the wall crunches, and then I started to do sit-ups, and then I also used to do like a little bit of the female push-ups, and then yeah. So the whole idea was to work on the stomach, because for me, I don't know how to work on arms. I know I have big arms, but I don't know how to work on arms. I just feel like that's for gym people. To work on arms is for gym people. It's only people that go to the gym that can work on arms. Like religiously, because I just feel like there are so many other wrong things, and focusing on arms is just nonsense. Yeah, so I just wanted to, if I can get the stomach flat, right, then everything else would fit nicely, you know, because I have a small waist, you know, Kilimanjaro. I'm like a Coca-Cola bottle kind of thing, and now I've got the chest as well. You know, the chest came in. You know, it's not as flamboyant as my relatives, but the chest is chesting, you know? So I was thinking, let me just work on the body, because I feel like I was very lazy with my first child, Moss. So I was like, let me do something nice for this guy. You know, this guy married me, you know, this guy. Yeah. So let's do something nice for this man. Hey, let's get him a wife that works very hard, you know, to look nice. Let's give him a Kim Kardashian, shall we? So I started without any advice from anybody. I started, and there I was, girl. I was doing my thing. After the break, I'll tell you for how long I did my thing and why I feel like this.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
So I started doing my exercises. And you know, I'm laying on one side, you know, one side, and then I lift the other leg. I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, moving on to the other side. 10 over. This time, you know, it's just, yeah, it's our room, me and the baby. So even the T is not really a big deal. So I turn over to the other side as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't do this. Oh, I resign from that one. I'll come back. I'll just resign from this one for now. Because I just noticed also that it was, my body went through shock. My body went through it. People don't talk about the trauma of childbirth. For starters, you have to align yourself with the fact that you are housing somebody. And this person is most probably also just going to be uncomfortable in the little space that they have. They want to move. They want to kick. They want to toss and turn. They want to eat what they want to eat. And then also the smells. For me, it was a nightmare. It was a very big nightmare because all the younger drivers at the time, some of them, they had the problem of an odor in the cars, and I was most now taking jive. Yo, stop the car. I have to vomit. Stop the car. I have to vomit. It was just any little smell that I don't like. Now we are throwing up now. Ni later, ni no. Every single taste that doesn't feel good on my tongue, you throw up now. And that was it. That was its own battle. And I think that when we talk about trauma, right, we don't talk about the little things that people say are normal, that don't sit well with us, and then we suffer the consequences a little bit later. Like right now, I think that 90% of my headaches are caused by my children screaming. My children screaming and my children shouting, especially my youngest. My youngest is at that stage where she wants to bully everybody, and then also she wants to scream. Like, I don't know, everything is just so exciting. Like, everything. When we are running, we are screaming. When we are playing, we are screaming. When we are angry, we are screaming. When we are happy, we are screaming. That's wah! And it's just that sharp. I can even hear my eardrums just making boom. You know, like, and then the older kids are not any different either, because Natasha is also just on that wah, and then Elu is also on that wah, and we're like, whoa, 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 Elu, boys, yeah, boys, they, yeah, show your joy somewhere else. I we're not limiting you. If it is really scream worthy, scream, but also like, no. Allow your sisters. Allow your sisters to do that one, even though it's driving all of us crazy. So yeah. And so now there are so many things that are traumatizing me. There are so many things that are wrong with me at the moment, like currently. There are so many things that are wrong with me, and there are so many things that I'm going through, right? And part of it is just existing in this world here. Existing in this world here and being grateful for what you have, because what you have is not actually bad. It's not bad. Maybe it's just overwhelming. Maybe it's just not something that you have to plan and work towards, because I'm most like a planner. So there are so many things that are outside of my control. And even the things that I am planning, I can't control the people on the other side of the plan. And that's the problem. And then also I am now in a partnership where most of the things that I would have planned alone when I was alone, I have to plan with somebody else. And sometimes I forget. Even when I walk in town, sometimes I forget. Apparently I walk like a zigzag. And he's like one of those slow walkers. I don't know, like Okuche Sambera, like slow. He walks with his time. And me, when I walk, I'm like, shnew, 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 shnew. When I tell you that I'll be there in 5 minutes, I mean, I'm there in 3 minutes, you know, when I'm there, because I'm walking fast and I'm just fenach, fenach, chop, chop, fast, fast. Like there's no funny stories, but him, he's like, oh, wow, did you see this? Like, oh, this is nice. Did you see those shades? He sees everything. And I'm like, yo, brah, like, that's the 10th thing you saw by accident today. So I walk like, apparently I walk in zigzag, but I think it's just because I was so used to walking alone, but I'm getting better. I think we complained this one already. I'm getting better. I'm learning to just walk one side from the outside. The minute I get outside, I walk one side already. Me, I'm on the right hand side. Then if he comes up behind me, I'm like, me, I'm on the right hand side. So him, he must just walk on the left. Anyway, on the left. Next to me, on the left. Okay. So, I started working out, and I started working out because I wanted to do something nice for him, and I wanted to do something nice for myself. And then I also just wanted to have a sense of power. I wanted to have a sense of power back within my body, because there's so much that happened to my body, that happened to me, that was out of my control. I couldn't control the sepsis. I couldn't control kidney damage. I couldn't control how I give birth. I couldn't control anything. I had no power, but I do have power now to what? to have the tone and the shape that I would like and to work on me and to have a healthy life. And that's what I tried to do 4 months after baby girl came. So after 4 months, here I am. I'm like, yo, so we're doing this. And then we're doing the planks. And then I hold it for like 5 planks because this is most like day one. I hold it on 5 planks. And then, okay, so there was now the matter of, the legs going up and down, exercising the legs. So you lay on your back and then you put them up in the air and then you drop them, but you don't drop them all the way to the ground. You are supposed to work on your core, right? You work on your core, you work on your leg strength. I've always been a strong girl when it comes to my legs because I've been a netball player for many, many years. I've been a netball player. So I've always had strength in my legs. And I think that up until today, that is my hands weak. Like even if I'm beating you and I knock you out, it's most probably because I'm terrified. Me, I'm scared. That's why I beat you so hard, because I beat you out of fear. But if it's just a way, like, let's fight and I'm not scared or nothing, you will most probably beat me up. If it's just get out, my hands are very, very weak. I've never had strong hands. I don't know. I think it's because I also played goal defense. So it's not like it's not the goal defense, the one that's D under the defense, under the pole, is the one that defends the one that is going to shoot, that's going to help the girl shoot. So it was a lot of defending. And when it's catching the ball, it's really honestly just catching the ball because she was about to get the ball and then you got the ball first. The sport. So I think that that's where my strong legs came from, and also the deep fear of being raped. So that deep fear of being raped, like if anybody ever tried, I will beat them up with my legs. So I always had strong legs. So I was just working on the legs, working on the legs. So now it came to the core, right? And part of the core is most now the stomach. So when I got the go ahead from the doctor, the go ahead was, you can now tie your stomach. You can now imanga yourself. So you can now put on that belt that holds things, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. We're finally here. We're finally doing it. We're putting on the belt that can hold things. Okay, cool. That's great. The belt was pinning. And you know, your girl is not really about those pinning things. So I decided, you know what? Other girls are doing it. There are so many girls. You guys, like I said, you guys are like an inspiration. You guys are amazing. For you guys that really put in the effort to go to the gym and work out, we're envious of you. We love you guys. We think you guys are doing amazing for your bodies, and we would like to be you one day. So we try to accomplish even just a quarter of the things that you have achieved. In case nobody told you how amazing you look after you started working out, in case nobody told you how amazing you look since you started working on your body, right? In case nobody told you that you are stone cold fox mommy and we see you, like, in case nobody told you that, right? And you're listening to me and you're about to eat that bar of chocolate since nobody notices anyways. Like, I'm telling you, don't eat the bar of chocolate. We are noticing you. And here we are on radio where millions of people can hear me talking about my insecurities, because you are in a wonderful space. You are in a space that I wish I could accommodate. And you are in a space with contentment towards your body and you're happy about it. You know, no matter how you look, like, I'm proud of you. I'm like, wow, sis, I also wanna be like that. You understand? And it takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot to finally say that I'm having a lot of doubts and insecurities about this new body and this new flex. I just feel like I can't dress it. I can't look nice. I can't, you know, and there you are wearing rich auntie. Like, there's most of us women, I'm talking now about the big girls, like, not big girls, like in terms of body, but also body and whatever. The grown up girls, most of us are in our rich auntie, mommy got it phase. All of us are in that phase. We're all in the phase of mama must look good and smell expensive. And when I say smell expensive, I'm talking about literally, even if it takes me 3 months, right, to buy that perfume from Foschini, I will buy it. And make sure whatever I'm wearing, it must be spotless. It must be spotless so that maybe I can preserve my perfume a little bit. But we are in that era. We are in the era of wanting to step into our feminine energy. We are wanting to step out of survival mode. We are wanting to step out of being a girl and struggling and being in survival mode, being in flight mode, being shocked, being abused, misused. We are trying to step out of our vulnerable and traumatized era and step into our confident, loving, soft era. You understand? We are all trying to step into that one. And I'm telling you now that I've had difficulties. I'm having difficulties with stepping into that anti-phase. Yeah? Because I want to step into the anti-phase. I even got everything to make sure that I live the part. Like I'm telling you, when I say that I'm living in answered prayers, I'm honest. I'm honest. I'm living in answered prayers. Like to be honest, I'm living in answered prayers. The problem here is me. I'm the one that doesn't fit in with my answered prayers. And that's such a bummer, right? Because the whole idea was I create the environment for me, right? I create the environment for me. I work hard for the environment for me and I do my best for the environment for me. And right now I'm the one that doesn't fit into my environment because I'm not the way I want it to be when I step into that environment. And I'm talking now, I'm talking body wise. I'm talking beauty wise. I'm talking about feminine energy wise. Like I'm still a goon, man. I'm still a goon. I'm still a tycoon out here. I'm still gangster out here. And that's not where I want to be. I want to be a gentle woman. Like, hey, I want to laugh like that. I want to laugh like this. But you know, that one we cannot change it. That one, no matter what, we cannot change it. Just like we cannot change our skin tone. We cannot change the way we look. Our faces, we can't change it. But there are things that we can change. Like, what type of size are you wearing? Are you wearing size 42? 4-4-2, you know? Or are you... I didn't even know those sizes existed. To be honest, I didn't know those sizes existed until, you know? And there was a time that we were taking a young girl, right? A cab. And this young guy, he was a driver, he's young, and he was telling us that, you know, the dating pool for us young people is so shallow. And I was like, why? You guys, like, what? There's sex on a stick everywhere. Like, there's love just roaming around these streets. You can literally fall in love at the service station. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you saying that? And he's like, because the girls don't even want to be attractive anymore. The girls are just wearing these mom jeans and then apparently call them boyfriend jeans. And then I laughed a little because I was like, yeah, me and my mom jean. Cause I was wearing a mom jean, you know, I was wearing a boyfriend. Me, I call it boyfriend also. But Kanti is a mom jean, bruh. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought those loose ones that don't show figure. I'm like, yeah, ne. But it's maybe because we are tired of being held down. Do you guys know how long we have been wearing tight jeans as women? Ah, we've been wearing tight jeans as long as kingdom come. Tight jeans that the ones that you even used to have, like that short behind where like konimayo jeans, ne? Like when you sit down at a bar, it's outside because the jeans were designed in such a way that they were only for thin girls. Then they designed something for us. Thank you, jean people. So I started, you know, I was looking forward to being part of the environment that I'm creating and working towards it and being happy. I was looking forward to it. Everything else was going in plan, you know. I'm working on my conversations for work. I'm working on the work for the other work. I'm working on the family. I'm working on maintaining our sobriety, and we are working on everything, you know, we're working on everything, and we are working on the children, how to be good parents, and we're trying, you know, and I was looking forward to that. And then this particular day, that just the same day that I started with my workout plan, right? Now I'm also drinking the hot water I must in the morning to burn fat. I'm drinking the hot water in the morning, but I was also still not in a comfortable zone. So I couldn't just be like blending things in the middle of the night and all of that. I would have went on a smoothie diet instead, but you know, breastfeeding, you cannot starve people's children because you want to be thin. You want to be in your eyes sexy or whatever. So, you know, you still eat a gang of food, but at least, you know, work out. So on this particular day, I was doing sit-ups. Now, what I didn't know as a layperson, what I didn't know is that my stomach muscles were extremely weak. They were extremely weak. They were not in a space to do anything, no heavy lifting, no what. But this is not something that I was told by the doctors because it was not something that was supposed to be a problem after 4 months. But, you know, everybody's body is different and it is what it is. So what happened to me was I was doing sit-ups, right? And then I just heard, like literally just, and you know, you can feel the in your body when it's in your body. It was not painful. It was just, so what had happened was, there's a lining, right? You know, your stomach, has most now the skin, the 7 layers of skin that is on top of your stomach, right? That's holding in your content, your body content, your inner body content. And then on top of your stomach, right, there is a sac there that's on top of your intestines. That's why, even when you're pregnant, right, the baby doesn't get entangled with your lungs and your what, because there is a lining there. There's a lining there that kind of keeps the baby on the outside. It's not just the placenta. There's also a lining on top of your intestines. So what had happened to me was that in that exercise of mine, I had literally caused myself, I harmed myself unintentionally. I caused myself a hernia. Now, if you're wondering what a hernia is basically, if it's not, sometimes it's a ball. Or sometimes it's like, oshi ke. Like oshitumbuka, but it's not oshitumbuka. What happens is like, it's a hole inside. It's a hole that ruptured through that lining of the stomach. You get what I mean? Yeah. So basically, I have a hole, right? Just here, kumbadayakuvu, inside. So that happened and I was like, oh my God, what happened? But it's not paining. Because this lining that is on top of the stomach, is not something that is like, it's not something that you can really honestly like feel pain to, like it's, I don't know. If you guys want to go and see what I'm talking about, just go and watch, an autopsy being done. Then you will see, especially like, old corpses, they have like that lining, that stomach lining. So that stomach lining of mine has a hole. Yeah, that I caused through exercise and wanting to be sexy. So this happens and I'm like, okay. So I stand up and I'm feeling discomfort. And this discomfort that I'm feeling, it's a discomfort that I've never felt before. And also I feel like this, like it's bulky here underneath my belly button. Whew. All right. I chill a lot. Now we're teaching the children Oshindonga. Yeah, at home. So in our house, it's just Oshinkwanyama and Oshindonga. So if you guys see, my English starting to become flaky, please understand that I'm just trying to give my kids roots. So I'm just trying very hard to be the Ndonga mom. I'm trying to be the Ndonga mom, the Kwanyama topi, you know? So I felt like a discomfort and I felt like on my stomach, which is something that is not right. So I pushed it. When I pushed it like that, that's when I knew, which are one of my, like my intestine came out to chill there, And then I pushed it back in and then I could now feel the hole. I could literally feel, which are, Yes. So that's how I got it. So now, and this is also like, so I went to tell the doctor like, no, I got this. And everybody assumes that it came from childbirth. And now I also don't want to be like a reckless person and be like, oh no, it's not from childbirth. This is just me, myself. I was just trying to be sexy. So I just keep quiet and I'm like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably. Does this information affect what it is? Like where I got it? Does it affect like the treatment of it? And they're like, no, it doesn't, because it's just there. So we're just trying to see what the cause was. So I was like, oh, okay. Are you going to write it in your documents? You know, this is me trying to cover my tracks. Are you going to write it in your documents? Like, no, no, no. It's not need. It's like an umbilical hernia. I was like, wow. So my daughter also had one, right? She had a hernia, but then hers now is closed. They said like theirs, because that's what she had when she was born. But then hers disappeared. Because she's young and she's a baby, and I don't stand those chances. I'm in my 30s, babe. Like, I'm chasing 40. Like, no, there's no revamping and re-what-what. There's no rejuvenation, cell rejuvenation things here. There's nothing like that. So, hello, hello. And then, so now that's the hernia. So the hernia now comes with pain. It's not supposed to be painful. It's not supposed to be painful. The only time it's painful is when your intestine is stuck there, and then it might I don't know the English. You know when the intestine is a little bit outside, the only time that it causes concern is when the intestine is stuck there and it is no longer going back within the sac, back to the other intestines, then that's when it causes a problem. But apart from that, hernias are not really something that is problematic. So I was supposed to get operated and then I went to the hospital. They didn't have MASH. The other time I missed it. Like, it's been a nightmare. Okay. So, but the moral of the story is that I don't feel great. I don't feel great in my body at all. I don't feel great. I don't feel nice in my body. And also it's most now, the extra chunks, I guess. And mainly it's not even the extra weight or the weight, right? It's not even the weight. For me, what is bothersome is the pain. I'm always in pain. And I feel like somehow, through the damage that was caused to the kidneys, my kidneys are in distress. And I think that they are functioning very hard because they're just not as young as they used to be. And I don't know if you guys can relate. Because these are internal organs, you know, and many a times we focus a lot on external organs. We focus a lot on the exterior. We focus a lot on what we look like on the outside, that we don't think and pay attention to what our intestines, our organs on the inside might be going through up until there's a problem. So I've been very attentive towards my internal being. Like, I've been conscious of my lungs and my heart and my kidney. I don't know, there by the liver, I guess it takes an experience to know what I should look for, what feeling I should look for within my body that indicates that, the liver is not livering. But I know that if I just stay away from toxic food, if I just don't drink alcohol, then I'm good, you know, with the liver. That's as much as I know. And also the medication, right? Dr. Nkali also told us about, yeah, this, there are certain types of medication that can just kill babies if you give them adult medication. So maybe the medication is also out with us, the paracetamol, like all these painkillers that we're taking and all of that, that's dangerous to the liver, right? So I'm very much aware of what kidney discomfort feels like. So every time I feel the same discomfort as I felt, I know that the kidneys are not okay. But what also bothers me is that with kidneys, most of what you have to do is flush, right? Because it just works like with water. There's no medication that the people gave me for kidney when I was in the hospital. They just put me on fluids, water, drink water. I was drinking liters of water. I was drinking for my baby, my dear, to get out of the hospital. I was drinking liters of water, and it's just liters upon liters. I was like, even when the cat, like, there were times where the catheter was just, it was just not even working anymore. It's just, cause I was drinking so much water. And so now I pay attention to the internals and I pay attention to the insides, and I'm not 100, you know, I'm not 100%. And then after that, it was now the discomfort within my hands. Now we know how to test my blood pressure. We test my blood pressure by my ring. If my ring can't come off, my blood pressure is high. My ring can't come off. If I can't slide my ring off, then my blood pressure is high. And also, obviously, eventually we'll have to get the machine. So every chance I get to go to the pharmacy, I go and test the blood to like the blood pressure, to go and see if it's high or not. But all in all, like, those are the battles, you know. And I'm in an uncomfortable space, because I feel like I can't look the way I want to look. You know, I'm unhappy with it. I can't look the way I want to look. The salon lady stole one of my wigs. Then the other wig of mine was stolen. Like, it's, so now I only have two wigs. Or is it three? That's like a, and I just want to work on it, but I don't know how I'm going to work on it if I'm not just speaking about it first, you know? So I told you guys, this is my playground. We play a lot here. We talk a lot here, because I think that some of these conversations are worth having. And the other day I was walking in the shop and I didn't want nobody to see me. And then I met like five people in the shop. Well, I saw five people in the shop that could have sworn they just saw me now. But by the time they turned around, so I've become those people that run away from people, because I don't want you to see me in the state that, in which I am. You know, I am more comfortable in staying in the house all the time, because in the house, all I have to do is wear pajamas. Now I've got a gang of pajamas, you know, I've got a gang of pajamas because I spend a lot of time at home while other kids are looking nice. So I found myself yesterday in the shop, you know, in Vumambrok. And I was walking in the aisles, and then I looked at this other young lady, you know. I actually know her, Hiku. I looked at her and I was like, people look so nice, you know. People look so nice and they're just taking care of themselves, and wow. And I was like, I felt really bad, you know. I walked away and I felt really bad. And I was like, that's a bummer. It's so bad. And that's why I was like, oh, you know what? I think that this is worth talking about. I think that it is imperative. I think it is important for us to talk about it, because I'm out here and I'm like, how many other people feel like this? You know, you're just in your skin and you know, you are trying, you know, you're trying there. Every time your hair gets old, you are angry because you're like, oh my goodness, now I have to go and sit in the salon, you know, and waste time. And I think that part of my problem is not just, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by life in itself, in general. I'm overwhelmed by life, and I'm overwhelmed by being a young person in this country. I'm overwhelmed by the numbers that we have to crunch in order for us to survive and still make life comfortable enough for the people that didn't ask to be here, but we brought them here because we wanted to be parents. And I'm starting to understand my parents a little bit more as I age. And I'm starting to look at our country and think that, okay, so it seems like every generation had their cause. It seems like every generation had their plan and their plan of action, you know? And I don't know what ours is. If I'm soldiering through life, literally, that's all I'm doing. I'm just trying to soldier through life. I'm just trying to make it. If I'm soldiering through life, then I can most probably guarantee that you guys are also soldiering through life. And you guys are just trying to make it. But now, there was an important question. And we're going to play the clip from that particular session. We're going to play that clip. Or we're going to play that audio. It is from one of our shows here that we have. It's a seasonal show. So, it will come and it will go. It will come and it will go when we have something that we would like to address. And it was hosted by Tate Walenga and it was called, or it is called Upfront. Now, with this particular show, they were talking about, okay, so what is the aim and objective of your generation? Because look at it this way. The generation before our parents, right, is the ones that fought. And they fought the war, they were fighting the war, they went through the war, and then their children went into the system to also just basically go and finish off what their parents started. And that's why there's so much trauma within the generation of our parents, because I don't think that they anticipated it. I don't think that they thought that they knew that it wasn't going to be easy, but they didn't think that it was going to be that hard. They didn't think that they are going to be burying hundreds of people. They didn't think that they are going to come back without legs. The morale was there, but it's shocking, you know? And so we have these three generations, and the first generation has the intention and obligation to free Namibia. And This is their call. This is their call to build Namibia, to carry on Thiguruakara, to carry on culture and its norms, to carry on tradition, to carry on to teach and have their children live within the culture and the traditions, and also to be dominant. I feel like our grandparents were very dominant, and up until today, I think they are still assertive. They are still very, very dominant. For those that have grandparents still, kudos to you. Kudos to you. But yeah, I think that they were very strong. They were very resilient and they really saw unimaginable things. Like, for example, with my grandfather was killed at home, literally, and he was a nurse. Nah? My grandfather, Imbodi Ashkuro, he was killed at home and he was literally just there. It was just there. And apparently his blood ran for like a whole entire day. His blood ran. Oh, those are the stories that we hear, right? And he's even buried at home. Like Metsajae Tuhui Kunakureka. He's buried there at home. And yeah, that was one of my projects that I'm going to do there. Kunturira kwe manya, dilipanlandu, you know? And I can just imagine you're in the house with your children and your husband is getting killed there, but you know that if you go outside there, if you guys try and fight, you guys are dead. So you have to now preserve the kids and somehow still survive, you know? And then the generation of our parents are the ones that went to the trenches, to exile, to go and liberate from different angles, you know? I don't know. To go and liberate from different angles, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, meet. I don't know. Maybe we'll find. Okay. Yeah. So, and then us. So I would like to believe that our fight is economical, and also one of our fights that we are facing as the youth.
our generation, right? And when we say generation, they said that it is a gap between 15 to 20 years, right? That's what a generation is. That gap between you guys, that's the one we can say. That's why we can say that our parents are a different generation, because the gap between my mother and I is what? Is 25 years. My mother is older than me by 25 years. Because she's 16 now and I'm 34. So it's, yeah, older than me by 26 years. Yes. And that's the gap. Like, she's a different generation and I'm a different generation. And yeah. So that's the difference between generations, right? And I'm looking at our generation, and to be honest, I think that we are not just fighting the economical front, and I think that we are also fighting, we're fighting a mental health crisis and pandemic. And those are our true battles, because I think that we don't know what we are doing. We don't know what we are doing, and we are not in unison when it comes to the collective youth. It seems like everybody is doing whatever they want to do, wherever they are doing, whatever it is that they are doing. And in that, right, we are fighting the same fight. So it's like we're all fighting against the South African troops, right? But everybody is fighting from their own camp. That's what we are doing. So I don't know how we're going to defeat the enemy when we are not united. The youth is not united. Everybody is driven to eat. Everybody is driven to be a success. Everybody is driven to become something in life. Right? We're all driven for that. Mara, to be honest, it seems as if that fight in itself is not working. That's why itatuzeni kochi. It seems like some people have a better view of where the enemy is coming from, and that's why they can eliminate the enemy, right? But it's only a matter of time until that good trigger point, right? That point where you can really see the enemy. It's only a matter of time until the enemy realizes that kucha marapombururumpea opuna o sniper. Pombururumpea opuna a sharpshooter. Pombururumpea opuna somebody that is eliminating most of our people, and we need to find a way to go around them, to go and find them. And then they get found, and then the spot is taken by the enemy. I don't know if you guys understand this. You guys can call in. The number in studio is 0832-888-401. And I was listening to it, and I was listening attentively, because there are a lot of opinions that came in, and And I'm thinking to myself, Moku Potso Shirine. As we are all fighting unemployment and this, Mara, how many of the ones that are employed ne are actually creating anything? Or are we all fighting to become puppets? Are we all fighting to become to become bosses? And also one of, not even bosses, guys, it's to stay employees for life. That's all we want. We just want our portion of the government cake, right? We want our portion for the government cake, and then we mess it up anyways. Because I know people that have cried tears for jobs, and when they got jobs, they messed it up. And that's why I say that, when we play content to put you to sleep, especially after my show, to put you to sleep, or not to put you to sleep, but to take you through the night, I want you guys to pay attention to these conversations, because these conversations are deeper than rap. And, Rosalia Martin Hausiku, is it Hausiku? Yeah. The one from MVA. She said something that stayed with me, guys. I was listening to it on Saturday morning when I left work. I listened to the whole entire show. It was Happy Juju's show here on Eagle FM, Life Lessons. I was listening to it, but it was memory lane. It was where we play content from previous years and previous shows, and we just show you the work that we have done along the years. So yeah. She said that she's been asked by people, yeah, don't you feel bad when you fire somebody and you take bread out of their mouth? And I was waiting for this answer because this is the question that I've been asked as well. I was waiting for her answer, which Vital Chase says, sister, because everybody says that to employers. Everybody. Nobody cares about employees. Everybody says nobody cares about employers at all. It seems like the employee is more important, not the person that's giving the person the bread. Like me, the employer is more important, guys. Like, to be honest, because if it wasn't for the employer, then there wouldn't be a company to employ your employee. How? But anyhow, okay. Sharp. So she said that, people say, don't you feel bad, you know, taking bread out of somebody's mouth and putting a young person onto the street, you know? And then she said something that stuck with me. Bro, it stuck with me so bad. I'm talking about it today on a Monday. She said that, isn't it an injustice, right? To have a person that has full potential and capability and gratitude for this opportunity outside on the street, while somebody that doesn't appreciate it, doesn't have gratitude and is not doing the correct things is occupying the space. Wouldn't it be better for us to let go of the liability and gain an asset? Isn't it better for us to open the space up so that the one that is on the street unemployed can now come and fill up the shoes and appreciate it so we can keep this ball moving? That's what she said, in other words, right? And I was like, bro, I never looked at it that way. The way you're saying take bread out of somebody's mouth, that is not like the place stays vacant until forever. The place is still filled with somebody that's now going to be getting bread. That's coming from where? From the streets. So we are not putting people on the streets. Yeah. No, dear. We're also taking people from the street. So I was like, good evening.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, customer?
I'm all right.
Uh-huh.
So what are you talking about?
My dear, I'm talking about the youth. What are we fighting for, Tete Jim?
What are we fighting for?
Eh. Like what? We keep saying a lot. Like what?
Yeah, for our country.
Yeah. We are not better.
Corruption. No, we are not better at all. We are doing worse even.
Worse than what?
Zimbabwean. We are even doing worse than Zimbabwean.
Who told you?
Remember?
Who told you?
Land, huh? Even the North, we are come up proud, but we are.
So you want land?
For 99 years.
So you want land?
Not ours. Yeah?
So you want land. You as a youth in Namibia, what is your battle? Well,
listen, they went to fight for
you, me and you, we went to fight for our country.
Kama, yes.
We went. It's our country. Put us in. We'll not even be ashamed, me and Tateji. We'll not be ashamed as.
Listen, people, they went to fight for their land,
yeah.
But they are still residing for 99 years. That land from the north, after red line, is for government. But this side is a private.
Yeah.
So, we want to get rid of that. And we want us to start eating our fish.
Okay. From your ocean that you inherited from your forefathers.
The diamonds.
Yes.
Not when you go to Dubai is where we are touching the diamond. No.
Have you ever seen a diamond? Have you ever seen a diamond?
On the TV.
My dear. Shil. If you have ever seen a diamond in this country, then I don't know who you chill with. I don't know who you chill with, my brother. I don't know who you chill with, but okay. But to be honest, if you have ever seen a diamond in this country, like Okawara, then I don't know.
Even touch it.
Guys, the only time that I've seen it, is just here on my ring. And I'm not even really sure if it's a real diamond. Nakakunyuka hapo. So, I don't know. I don't know, but okuka monara nge andora like, wow, guys, we are just seeing diamonds, eh?
Yo.
What's happening?
Ah, we.
Not
in Namibia.
Not here. Have you ever seen uranium?
I don't even know
all the fish in the ocean.
How does it look like? Copra, it is.
I don't even know where all these things. I don't know.
I see copra and the lithium. I see it.
Okay.
But the others, uranium. You talk about it. There's a lot of things we don't know. Even the fish or fish. Talk about the fish.
Yeah, like me, I only know Masbanger and hake and angelfish. Yes.
What do we know?
Hey.
There are a lot of them in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of the species.
There are a lot of fish there.
I'm telling you.
Ooh, in the ocean. Cabenossi, Cabeljau, and did do bake mestrata, bro. And did le shake mestrata.
Munga, now katishi.
Ne?
That's why, Kucha. Anona now, what is making us to be proud to be a Namibian?
I don't know.
Even our fish, which we're supposed to enjoy, we only know much Bangara. Yeah? I know. You are proud for what?
We are proud, Musof.
For what?
Life.
To be call yourself a brave. Yeah?
Guys,
no man. What? Why? What is there for us?
We are just most. So what are we fighting for? What are you fighting for? Economic freedom?
Yeah, obvious. Economic freedom. And also when it comes to land, access to land. We don't have that. Just imagine.
So you are fighting for access to land.
Yeah.
Okay.
Economic freedom. Because now we guys are talking about what? African trade, free trade. Okay. Then we're wondering now, if things from the north cannot come this side. How do you make sure?
How are we going to do it with Ghana? If we cannot have petrol from Angola, how can we do that? I don't know, you people must stop playing,
even
man.
Madagascar, how do
we do it? Atuiko Nike. Atuiko Nike ndati. Ne, nando tuita tuningine na Madagascar. Atuiko Nike. Atuiko Nike otuna.
Enambia no taya lukango.
Oh, tafutu ima liwaya ntu tango mangina ya investa minima yao.
Minima yao ne. And just imagine a person lending for 35. What kind of people are we? And nothing happened to those people. They get away with it. How can you land a low plane? Look, if you met me again, we are making agreement. I'm having your car for 10 years. What should I do? I must retain your car. I have to maintain its service.
Yeah.
I have to put new tires.
Yeah.
I have to. No, it's like I'm paying off. And what is the people do? Now, when I'm being a money.
Is it really corruption? Is it really corruption that we don't even have a solid idea on fighting together this thing that we are all fighting? You are part of the 100,000, or 200,000, or quarter of a million, or half a million, or 800,000 youths in this country, or young people in this country, or people that are not 50, because you know. You are part of that.
We are no more youth.
I get it. Almost 50. I get it.
We are getting there.
Yeah. You are part of an outcry that we have been having for the past 3 decades. Right?
Yeah.
And this is an outcry that we've been having, Kucha, because I think that we've seen the injustices for a very long time, even before we got to the point of really seeing things for what they are. But are we fighting together?
The problem is we are divided.
But if us, we cannot even, if, at least the old people, even if we are calling them corrupt, ne, at least they are corrupt in uniform, in unison. At least they are working together in corruption.
No. They are not.
How are they not working together in corruption if they are corrupt together? Shimoshanja or Shei Yeshilonga.
Let me tell you one thing. They are not all together because now they are fighting with their kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you don't know, they say what struggle kids. And they have a veteran, what? You called this a veteran. And now you're also having a what? People who've been in Namibia fighting in Namibia. And now you have a sideline people like Mandume and the others. Now, the country is divided. You can see that. Because now you're having also the people who are forefront. They also left out. They are outside. People are eating with their Kamboloto, Wufa in Namibia, and they are also eating with their kids. And they forget about their comrades, kids who burned Paris during the war. And this is what is happening. So we are divided, and the thing is that we are not fighting together because this struggle guitar, we talk special. But if you are coming all together one time, I think we can tackle the problem. But we are all divided. Even though even the parents themselves, they know they are divided. Those one who have been remaining here, and the other one who went for exile, there's a difference. You see? And now you are talking about unity. Which unity are we talking about? If the country is like that. That's what I'm telling you. There's so much thing we need to work out, man, in Namibia. And the thing, people, they think to maintain a peace is very easy. But the thing, Namibians, they are quiet. Remember Sri Lanka, what happened to Sri Lanka?
What did Sri Lanka do?
You know, ne? Sri Lanka, they start with their cousin, brother-in-law.
Yeah,
husband and what, they are landing the government. And it's what is happening in Namibia. That is what is happening here. If you check what...
But even if it were you, wouldn't you put your relatives? I don't think we have a problem with nepotism. I think we have a problem with nepotism when other people do it.
No.
To be honest,
we are playing, I'm telling you, we are not together.
Tala. Shanyengara. Nando opuna o granta tavitumampe. You send to all your relatives. No, why didn't you put it on your status?
Listen.
You send to all your cousins on your family group.
No, Elizabeth. You've been with, you know, some of us, we're still in touch with our brother who've been in, from primary school. Up to now, then we went up to VTC. Some of them even go to Canada, UK. Some of them never even come back. We're still contacting each other. And we have this WhatsApp group. But I'm telling you, that's how you build the nation. Because you know each other, and you know also, you can bring also the new fresh idea, the people who are having ideas. But in Namibia, we keep it in the house. Even you know that, but Mandumi is very idiot. You're just pushing him. You see? And it's what is happening for the past 35 years. We know them. And they are still getting it. But you talk about meeting a girl family polo. So you know what representing this is what is Tomon Jerotan Gishikapana, Jalotaya, Taman Kosimbo. They know what you are, take you all here. What they go? They pay me, the power, where get an Uja, but your company is going to be what? Manga Venano system in a upgrading now. You see? Those are things which are hurting us as a Namibian. And that's why I'm asking you a question, which what does it make me to feel to, like I'm proud to be a Namibian?
I don't know. The fact that you are a Namibian. Is that not,
I did in the passport. And they will never travel even now. We don't have a passport. Ah, maybe like,
okay.
So we need to change.
Okay. Mara, I'm going to play an audio. Ne?
Yeah.
Like after 10:30, I'm going to play an audio and I want you to listen to it. And then, for the last 30 minutes of our show, I would like for you to call back and then, then you can give me your input on the conversation that was had. It was a conversation between Tate Walenga, Lee, Kankwanyoka and another gentleman. So that was a conversation that touched me so much because it was a question. It was a question of, what are we doing as? Not even as Namibians, kucha, or generation any, because we keep saying, kucha, yeah, your generation is eating, your generation is what, your generation is what, right? Mara, nyota ningine shike. Shashino, when we look at what our cause is and what our fight is, ne? Our fight is against unemployment. Our fight is against, financial slavery. Financial slavery. Yeah. We are against it. We don't want to be slaves to the finance.
Yeah.
We want to be liberated financially, you know? And that is our battle. But the problem that we are having, that came from the conversation as well is the fact that all of us are hustling, Vati. All of us are doing our own thing. Mara, are we getting...
Not all of us.
Most of us are doing our own things. Nando upure your cousins. Kucha, where are they? Humokuriko Marinda, humokuriko Lutherans, humokuriko Mbae, humokuriko Shike, humokuriko Shike. Everybody is just trying for themselves and for their kids, you know? And that's what we are trying to do. We are really hatu konjoru norutu no mwenyo, mara anua. There might be a sense of a disunity amongst us. So we're going to listen to the clip after the advertisement breaks, and then I want you to call me back at 11:30 if possible.
Okay, I will do so.
All right, thank you so much.
Ciao.
All right, my beloved, please stay tuned to this. Woo!
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Buy 2 times Rhodes 1 liter 100% fruit juice for only $49.99. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with Smart Buy. 400ml Vaseline body cream or lotion for $44.99. And 2 kg sunlight hand wash powder for only $54.99 with Smart Buy. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
We are now back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we dive into this is the property of Eagle FM. Hi! Nobody can say, kucha, yeah, but you guys don't own those rights. This is the property of Eagle FM, and I am at liberty of utilizing these particular clips to make a point within our conversation. We're going to be listening to a conversation that was had, right? And please pay attention. Please let us try and learn as much as we can. Vahorike, vakweva. And let's take it from there. We're only going to play a short segment of it, and we will take it from there. So I'm going to just dive into the part where I want it to go, and we'll take it from there. You are listening to Pulling Heartstrings, please.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
We are now back. The choice is yours. I'm saying to you here, you decide whom you want to be. It's as simple as that. We don't prescribe on this show.
All right.
Up front.
Thank you for the invite, sir.
Yeah. Good people, yes, as per the question that has been put up, and many people have been trying to make comments before they even answer the question. But that's very good. That's our democratic right, as we always say in Namibia. However, the simple approach on this program, as indicated, is we are talking about the youth. There is a popular belief out there. It can be my own opinion. It can be an opinion of other people. But that opinion is out there, that the youth of today, the generation of today, they are more focused on the political aspect of leadership more than anything else. Thereby, the economic aspect is hardly addressed. I don't know the social aspect. I don't know whether this generation cares so much about producing the spiritual leaders of tomorrow who speak their language. I'm not too sure if this generation cares so much to produce traditional leaders who can appeal to the very generation. That's for you guys. You guys are likely to be expert in the topic. I can see three generations represented on the other side. Makali has indicated, yes, politically speaking, we have served with him within the party SWAPO structure, SWAPO party structure, the Youth League. So I don't know what he has become after we left the Youth League. Yes, for me, I have decided and continue to pursue business, try my luck in the space of business. Now, I don't know, Kamkwa Nyoka, it's for you to say which generation and what is your role in your generation and how you see it, because you are one of those culprits who always pass on blame for this and that to the old mandalas and mamas. But your chance here today is to tell us now, what is this that you guys are doing? Because I'm not too sure if it's enough just to pick holes in two generations before you. What is this that you have done, your generation, to link yourself to your previous generation? Not your parents' generation, the previous generation before you, before you get to your parents' generation. And you are so much excited. That generation you continue to pick holes in, they have picked their race, and I want to believe they have won their race. Their race was to free Namibia, and here we are in a free and independent Namibia. What more do you guys expect from that generation? They have done their part. Unless you are telling me that they have not done their part, what is this that you want from them? Because they have succeeded. You will have your chance. I can see you are itching to answer the question, but it's not a problem. The bigger question here is, the reason why you guys are pursuing hardcore politics more than anything else, is it because many youth view politics as the gateway to success, or that the economy comes second after politics? That is the question that we need to answer, all of us. And I'm not an expert. However, since we are talking about generation leadership, maybe it's important for us to find out what is the meaning of a generation. Or maybe you guys are expert, but a generation is described as all the people born and living at about the same time, regarded collectively. Yeah? It can also be described as average period, generally considered to be about 20 to 30 years. That's the gap between generations, during which children are born and grow up, become adults and being to have children. So that's more or less the definition of what a generation is. It's a gap of, in our case, we can say between 15 and 20. Mm. Or we can stretch it to 30. So your generation, Kankwanyoga, what are you guys up to?
That's a very, very good question. I think we are the generation we are that are up to so many things. Mm-hmm. I can say that we are the generation which are up for so many things. You know, in our attempts, we call it a hustle. We are hustling, man.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is now, again, if I don't move away from this, this is something that set us apart a bit with the other generation. That my generation, you have to do so much in terms of hustling, and mostly economically.
Okay.
It's just about more of income generating. That is the only thing that we are up to do these days. The other generation that you asked me, Fair, that you spoke about, the one that liberated, for them, they were caught up on that to make sure that they liberated the country. That was most one of the things. If you look at the reason they have now, that why
did they succeed?
Yeah, they did succeed, and I'm okay. Really, really proud of them. I love history, and I love the work they did. I can say
that's the first one, eh?
I'm just gonna continue after the advert.
Go far with Paratus. Go further with Paratus fiber.
How many seconds?
Paratus offering high speed. Only $599 per month. Unlimit your lifestyle and visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Yeah, so to continue on my point, the first thing is, I am grateful of my grandfathers and my grandmothers, whatever they did for us back in the days. Mm-hmm. It's something that I will never take for granted. Mm-hmm. I lost uncles, I lost a lot of people that went through that. But when it comes to my generation, I know most of the seniors, the first thing they want us to do is to be grateful of what they did. We are grateful. We are very much grateful. But just for you to make it a requirement for me is where the problem comes. That if I come and knock on your door, if I don't say, I'm so proud of what you did, I feel that is where the other generation and the current one that are remaining always make when it comes to us. That for me to access something, for me to knock in your office, I always have to start acknowledging what you did for me in the past. And the arrogance in me always come out that to say, if I was in the same place, I will liberate my land. I will fight for my land. Mm-hmm. And that is where again now we start crushing. Mm. But to answer your question is that my generation is busy fighting the economic war. But again, most of my generation are not part of the fight.
How are you structured?
Eh?
How are you structured?
Yeah, and that is one of the problems of my generation. There is no structure.
Mm-hmm.
There is no structure.
That you call it a fight?
Yeah, because it's more now an individual fight even more than often.
Mm.
Because we have your generation in charge of the resources, then we are on the other side of things, especially people like us who do not want to join politics or rallies or whatever.
Mm.
So you see, there is always that difference now. So there is always that difference. But to answer the question, it is that yes, my generation are fighting the economic war at the individual level because there is no structure to assimilate this or to mainstream and to make it a collective fight like you guys did or like the other previous generation did.
Mm.
So if I can end it there, that yes, we are fighting the economic struggle, but mostly majority are fighting at an individual level, not even at the household level, not even at the family level. Everybody's on their own. We are all in the street. That's why we leave home. We go as far as Ketman's soap and do my thing. Mm. Nobody even know where I am. So it's more of an individual fight, but it's more on an economical level.
You continue to say the generation of your grandparents is in charge of the resources.
Yep.
I beg to differ with you.
Mm.
They may be occupying ministerial positions, but who's running the administration?
Yeah, let me talk in and economic sense.
And who are their PAs?
Yeah. Let me talk in economy. If you look at a commercial land, the average farmer in Namibia is more than 60 years old.
Okay.
And that is the first resource that you're in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
then come in terms of allocation, who allocate? It's mm-hmm. you. It's again, yeah?
I allocate based on the recommendation from who?
And again, if you look at the board structure of all the SOEs, they are all your generation.
Come on.
For real. It's only now, this is one conversation I was having with one of my young people, that if we can come up with a threshold to say for every board of director, let us have a youth within there. So, it just, those are now just small examples I can give you how your generation is in charge of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And always telling us to go to agriculture, tell us to go where, tell us to do our own. So, literally, that's why if you look at how we are communicating now, it's just becoming you telling us where to go. Go do what? Go do what? Go create your own employment.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come to you later. Lee Garrison. Good evening.
Good evening again.
What is your answer to the question?
Before I answer the question, I just want to, I think I'm understanding where he's coming from, Erastus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's mentioning something very critical. He says, this generation is fighting in silos. Everybody's doing their own thing because there's just, it seems to be disjointed. And I want to draw attention to maybe an analogy about relays. We've been watching, thanks to Bo Masilingi, we've been watching athletics. I know all of us are on par now. In athletics, you know, with relays, doesn't matter the distance, whether it's 400, 100, there's an objective for the four people who represent a particular country. And all of them have this one goal that they've trained for, that they know doesn't matter what happens, the baton cannot fall, and we need to be able to assist each other to get to the finish line first. This is an analogy I think I want to use in terms of Namibia. When the previous generation or the older generation, you know, was fighting, there was this collective common cause. And I'm sensing in the way Erastus is describing the situation that we had sort of, I don't want to call it a failure as yet. We're still analyzing, but I want to say we've not been able to take this kind of collective approach. I think it's an ideology. I think it's a cohesive ideological approach to how we solve problems as a nation. I don't think we've been able to...
If you are set to save, you save. It's a shop to be this month end. When last did you only pay 94.99 for 5 kilos of Marathon white sugar? Or $116.99 for Champion Super Maize Meal? Or just $64.99 for 3 kilos of Grande Pasta? And $27.99 for Rama Original 70% Fat Spread? You save. Your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
The nation, I don't think we've been able to pass the baton on from that generation to this one. And I think this is what is causing this this disjointed discourse, not only between the two generations, but also among within a particular generation. I don't think there's that cohesiveness because I don't think we have got that ideological unison that we are one people. This is what we want to do. This is, you know, no matter what happens, the baton cannot fall. I think somewhere in terms of our ideology and our outlook, that baton fell. And the other thing with the older generation and this generation is, what were the values upon which their fight was built? And where are those values now? What values as a nation were we nursing when we went into to fight for independence? What are those values that we were saying as a collective, you know, these are the good things about being Namibian, and these are the things we're fighting for? I think that has been lost somewhere in the last 31 years when young people and different generations have started to see how each propels their interest or advance their interest, and how those interests are not coming together as a one unit.
So, in other words, you are saying the generation of your grandparents, in a way, did not pass on that baton of leadership and the values that comes with it.
Yes, and I think when we speak of leadership for Namibia, what is it? What is our brand of leadership? What is it that we look at and say, this is who we are as a people, this is what we aspire to be as a collective? I think we must first define the term leadership in a Namibian context where everybody is able to understand where we are coming from as a people. How honest are we with ourselves and with each other about what that leadership means? And then how do we hone this leadership to and sort of make it a product that we can then say, this is our brand, this is who we are, these are our set of values that we want to inculcate in our young people. And then we pass the baton on. I don't think this is happening, and this is why it seems, especially with the electoral season, there's that energy of the older generation and the younger generation at, sort of a tug of war. But it's because we've not understood those roles, those things as a collective, that we are unable to articulate to each other where it is that we're headed.
Now that you guys have realized, your generation, that there is that gap, what is this that you are doing to rally your generation to? What is the focus of your generation? Because are you then saying that now that the generation of your grandparents failed to pass on the baton, you guys will just continue to be in disarray?
I want to come in there and say, I don't think the failure is one-sided.
Okay.
And I think this is one of the critical mistakes when we speak about those issues of generational, tug of war. We tend to have a blame game about, I think as a collective, there has to be that reflection upon Namibians that I want this. So we want this. And how do we get this thing that we want? So when you have that kind of alignment, you're not thinking of blaming necessarily only party A, because I mean, the honest, young people want to be in the room where decisions are made. But what kind of responsible behavior have we exhibited towards things that should matter to us as citizens, as us as people? I think even if some elders have failed to be representative and to be, morally sound, people look to things like corruption and say, okay, if the leaders are doing it, but then what is the difference with when does it start for me to say, I don't want to be that guy in 30 years and have generations that follow me have the same conversation? I think the cycle has to end some way. So the onus is also on the young people and the older generation to understand that, okay, we have this treasure, it's called Namibia, and we've done, we've gone wrong somewhere, but how do we come together to see, to move our country forward and to see to it that everybody is on the trajectory and everybody's part of the process. That is not going to come from one side of the table. It has to be a collective discourse.
Amakali, you hear the cry of the two generation, and you have been fortunate enough to serve the generation of your grandparents, and I'm looking at the founding fathers' generation, who were together in the trenches there of the leadership at the level of the youth league.
Yes.
You serve three terms, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, four, if I were to consider the Nanso days, spilling over to the youth league. First, it was not. Spell is a new thing. Before, it was just, you could say, wild, because it was Uslik, Swapo Uslik.
Yeah.
There was no P before. Then after independence, yes, Spain. Now, your generation, were you prepared for leadership?
I remember your last statement that you made was in 2007 at the Windhoek, what is that school name?
Windhoek High School.
Windhoek Technical High School. When you were saying, just that I can't quote you correctly, when you talk about us from here, where do we find ourselves in the next 10, 15 years if we do not find ourselves also in that political position or leadership position, then there is something wrong with us.
You would have failed, actually.
Yeah, we
don't. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah. Well, we should say we were groomed to get there. We were groomed and we were ready to take over the reign. By now, if we could have been there, what we could have achieved, it could have been much better than what those that are in the leadership position have achieved so far. But being not be able to get there by yourself because there are blockades that are being put for you, despite the fact that you want to be there, it will not be easier for you to get there because of the blockade that was made to be very difficult for you to be there. But we had the courage, the know-how, because we had the institutional memory and the understanding of how things are being done.
Kamkwa Nyoka here is looking at you.
Yeah.
And blaming you for everything.
Is
he right?
He's entitled to his opinion.
I want a better answer than that.
Yeah.
The thing is this, you see, remember when we were in our boardroom those days, we used to blame each other, point finger at each other. And but our things end up in the boardroom. They end up there. We've never had anything of after our meeting that you go out and say that I was with Waringa and Waringa was doing this and this and this. Yeah. But he can say he's right or wrong, but remember in our generation, we had principles. When we discuss things, we discuss them thoroughly. And you sometimes will even think that, no, let me say Comrade Kapia. You will think maybe Comrade Kapia will not talk to you because we're attacking him straight. Yeah. But after 3 days he has settled down, he started calling everybody, Comrade, why were you attacking me? What have I done to you? He said, no, Comrade, we're just addressing issue. We're not attacking you. But our things were left there. But nowadays, you hear people had meeting even before the meeting get out. You already know what the people are discussing in their board meetings, but which was not our case. So he can't say it, we have failed. We had our principle. We have done them.
But I think I get his point.
Yeah.
If that's how they are behaving, it means your generation has failed to pass on the legacy that was passed on to you by the previous generation.
So how did that happen?
Yeah. Legalises.
Probably it's unfair for one person to answer the question, but I like the question you just posed to him. Did he pose to you? The question about the leadership. Were you prepared for leadership, or did you just come, you know, did you come prepared? And this is a question I think every generation will have to deal with. It's not something that's unique to Namibia. It's not something that's unique to the time that we're in. There is always going to be that question of how prepared, who prepares you to step into those shoes? And because they are, you know, and are there people who don't necessarily need to be prepared but are natural leaders? I think there's two things that we're dealing with, and I think somewhere by dropping the ball we may have even ignored both of them. There's people that are just naturally attuned to taking, you know, those steps, leading. And then there are those people who are situational. Something happens. It's a circumstantial situation. You know, there was no one else. And then someone has to step in. Those types of things also have to be considered. There are people in our current political class that probably were not prepared to become leaders, but because there was no one else, you know, they fell into it, and now they find this expectation for them to move out of the way as unfair. We fought for this country, you know, we died. They go as far as saying we died for this country because, you know, there's this thing where I sacrificed my youth. I sacrificed my life, you know. I could have been married and been a nice potato farmer there, but, you know, it didn't happen because I was always in the trenches. So now, for someone like that, it dawns on them that this is all I've known. And how do I move out of the way for Kamachona? I mean, I really need to be here. This is what makes me relevant. So I think you want to come in there?
Yeah, I want to come in.
No, it's okay. Let her finish.
Okay, so, you know, I was actually going to finish. You know, there are those psychological things that I think each generation is also dealing with. And one has to understand that when I come into a position of perhaps a ministerial position and they're seniors, you know, there's going to be that rift, that difference, because here I'm seen as competent, you know, and I'm current and I'm relevant because of my youth. And so somebody else that has been there and that has been, because there was no one else,
so
becomes obsolete.
So basically what you are saying is young people should not be ascending to position of power and authority simply because they are young. It must be because he or she is capable, prepared or unprepared. Some people, like you rightly put it, are natural leaders. Do you find a mismatch in the current leadership of young people?
Yeah, I think this argument of wanting to push a particular demographic because of poor representation that is real. You know, you don't see a lot of young people in a space. Same way you didn't see a lot of women in a space. So there was that zebra 50-50 thing. But then you have to ask yourself, are we putting, is it really hurting the, is it good for the country to advance people on the basis of being a member of a particular demographic for representational purposes, or are we going to look at merit? When does, you know, merit come into the picture? When do we start to say, okay, a person A is young, but unfortunately, the person is not ready to lead. And I think even young people should be ready and willing to understand that they might not be there, if whether today or even tomorrow. We need to be conscious of wanting to see people, but we must fight to have quality people in front of the pack, because if we don't do that now, we are going to sit with the same problems we're talking about now, where some people really, like I'm saying, there was no one, so they are there. And to move them out now, it's a hell of a fight. You know, you have to fight with that person's ego, that person's pride. You have to consider their, you know, there's just so many considerations. Whenever you think of moving a senior minister out of the way, even at a conversational level, there are ramifications of, now what happens? That person becomes immediately obsolete. So where do we also move this class to continue to contribute to society? Perhaps not in the spaces where they are.
Or not to contribute at all. They just retire.
Or retire, you know. We don't have... Yeah, but it's true. You know,
see,
some
people... they are the problem.
But some people...
Because they want to push out of...
there are people that are exhausted. And there are people who have really, who might not be flexible enough to address the problems that we see today. They are not in a position to. Do you really keep somebody like that? It's the same question that you asked about young people. Do we continue to keep the older generation in positions of decision making when they are no longer functional to that position. I mean,
Kangkwanyoga, let me put it this way to you. All things being equal,
ceteris paribus,
if there was no unemployment, higher unemployment in the country, there was no economic turmoil, would your generation still be speaking the same language you are speaking now towards the towards your grandparents' generation?
Okay. I'm going to start now going economical. Look, my point is this. If you look at the economy that you guys lead and the economy that we are living, there is a big gap. And that should be the number one reason why you should go. Because me and you, if you sit in the same room, we are never going to agree. That is number one. Because the current economic structure that I'm currently trying to push and make people understand, and the economic structure that you lived, where you go to the IMF and you wait for aid, do you know that we don't get aid anymore? Meaning that our whole budget is funded by what we generate inside here. So that difference between me and you at the economic stage is what makes the whole conversation difficult. That is actually what actually kill all of us. If I go to the Alwendo, if I go to the Tashimi, that difference in terms of economic, the way we live, you guys, you buy cattle and you invest in a field. Look at me. I don't have I can't buy cattle because there is no land where I can put them. So meaning the type of asset I invest in are totally different. And if I come to you to say, please make sure the stock exchange work for me, you will be reluctant because you don't know the value of the stock exchange. So meaning you are leading people who in their mind are living in a different economic side of things, while in your mind the type of policy you are pushing is because of the economic structure that they've been exposed to. And that is where the mismatch become difficult. That's why I can't attend a rally. I can't listen to politicians. What will you tell me? So that is where the difficult means. Because until you start talking about the stock exchange, until you start talking about advertising for me to go buy terrestrial bills and talk about aquaponic, those type of the agriculture which they are doing now, I won't listen to you. So do you see the difference in terms of economic understanding and the current world?
Are we not being too harsh also when we say I can't listen to you?
Okay, yeah, maybe. Sorry for my wording.
No. Just hold on a second so that you can get what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is, despite some of the real-time challenges that we sit with, can we really conclusively argue that that generation does not have absolutely any wisdom to share with us? Is there nothing?
Okay, I can't say they don't have. There are good guys that are doing well. I give you a good example of the Talenda, how he moved with the current, to auction the minor right. He has a team and he agreed to the team that this is impossible. As much as we want to do it, and I love that. So I can't really write off that to Alenga as much as it's just a lack of vocabulary. But to me, that is the main factor why this generation and us are failing to understand. Because what we want is not what they want. Look, the Ministry of ICT is asking people to apply with master degree. But these are the whole ministry which does not know anything about. So do you see the difference? But my proposal to one of them, I told them that you guys don't need people with masters. You need to graduate from poly to digitalize the whole ministry. So do you see the difference in terms of thinking of the people that are high and the people that are down? And I advise my friend to say, go tell your seniors, you don't need anybody with masters. You guys are using paper. You don't even have a government email. So do you see the difference? You need a graduate to come and digitalize your whole ministry.
Kapanyoga, the difference is here. And the point she's trying to emphasize to you is this. That generation of your grandparents, they rallied behind a cause. And they invested their youth, their energy, and sacrifice their youth to free Namibia. And I want to believe they have succeeded.
Yeah, they
haven't
did.
They?
They did.
Now, in your village, I'm sure there are old people in your village.
Yeah, they are dying now.
Do you in your village have old people going to the wells to fetch water for you to bathe?
No.
Why? Because now you are like saying, fetch water for us to bathe.
No.
That's what you are saying. Because you are saying, we don't understand. Nature, yes. We are not in a position to understand. Is it our fault that we don't understand?
Then why are you still in that power? Because I don't want you to do what you are, the activities. What I want is you to open up and understand that the current status of the economy require me, require 60 or 70% of my type of thinking. If we want to catch up with South Korea and Israel and others, it require my type of thinking. You lead. Facilitate a platform for me. That is what I'm saying. If leaders don't, if the current crop or your generation don't allow us to play in this space, and you want to play with us, you want to go to the well with us, that is where it becomes problematic. Economically, I don't know about leadership.
No, the problem is here. Remember, for your granny to still have the courage to go and fetch water for you to bathe, and in the end even cook for you, is because you are probably spending most of your time and energy on something that is not productive, that will not bring you the water from the well and the food for you to eat. There could be that mismatch. And you are not telling me that if you go in the villages, you go in Tura out there, that you don't find your generation next to what?
Yeah. Yeah, we love relaxing.
Amakari.
I tend to agree to disagree with you there.
No problem. That's why we are having a discussion.
Kankwanyoka, I think he has got his, I understand his point. Our forefathers' generation has fought for this country. But for you now to come and go to a rally campaigning and tell a child or a young man that was born in 1985, that you have fought for this country, you have freed this country, you have brought liberation, peace, and what? That is not what the young men want to hear from you. That is not what Kankwanyoka want to hear from you.
What does he want to hear?
Kankwanyoka want to hear from you. What are you doing now to make sure that Kankwanyoka has table on the table or bread on the table tomorrow and the day after? And I think that is what he said. But the problem is also here. With our leadership, political leadership, we tend to be very uncomfortable with a person that I will not be able to
control.
If you look leadership in Africa, they mostly always groom their son, their grandson, their daughter or granddaughter to take over. The reason being, I'm always thinking that if I have to give Walenga a power today, will I be able to pull him in his t-shirt when he's trending away? What do I mean by that? I look at you, even look at the leaders, some of the leaders that are we having in the constituency, district, region. Most of them, their name attempt, they here or there, they have got some secrets that are hidden there. And if he is being told that, hey, go and tell Walenga this, but what if Walenga turn against me, say, remember you have this case, and the criminal case does not expire. So please be careful of what you are doing. Do what as we are telling you to do. So these are some of the things that are happening in our leadership.
But is that what you guys teach each other in your in your forums? I fail to understand.
No, that is not what we teach each other.
Then why is it continuing? The previous leadership in everywhere in Africa, you keep doing this. You have the same thing, trend.
Like I said, the thing is this, that people are seems to be agitated and not comfortable to give up the power. Because they are afraid that if I give you the power, you might come after me because of what I has done in the past.
Yeah,
but sometimes I only want things to go forward. I like the... But yes, it's yet to come to pass. The statement the president, the current president of Zambia saying that we have not taken power in order to take revenge, but for us to show that we are better people than those that were there.
But sometimes when people go into a position of power, the first thing they focus is on the person that was in the position of power.
And now that is now...
It creates fears in those that are currently in the position. If he or she knows that I have done something wrong, Unokambere, do you have a knife? You cut off a piece of my finger here. So you will see that the people that are going to be groomed even next, that are about to take over in the position, you will realize that one, either way or the other, they should be closer to those that are currently in the leadership position or that were in the leadership position. People will be afraid to give power to the person that are just coming from somewhere else. The reason being to protect their own interest.
Then I can say the whole political ideology and how you guys teach each other, I feel like is what is wrong, is what is destroying the whole thing. Because if that is what you guys, is that a sustainable approach? Because now in your group, is there, you assume that in your group is where only people that are capable in, meaning you can't look further. So the whole political structure and how you guys groom each other, I feel like is the problem. And it seems like every time you guys go in power, you're always going to do something bad, then you need to cover up yourself. then the whole vision 2030 is in the core of the whole political whatever to deliver economic prosperity and others.
So my question is now...
Now, let's... put it this way. Clearly, there's no way for three generations to agree.
Yeah.
I think there is. I beg to differ.
No, it's okay. To agree on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
I think Franz Fanon put it best. To say each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. Each generation. That's for each generation. The question is, what is the mission of your generation?
Okay, before I get to that, I just want to, I think we need to start to question ourselves. We're speaking about leadership and leaders.
And but the economy.
In the economy, I think that. But do we, can we say that, and this is why I was saying in the beginning, our ideological framework, the leadership in the Namibian context, what is it? Is it you know, being a minister and being able to decide or preside over natural resources, who gets to be employed, where resources are deployed? Or is it, is leadership about developing an ideological framework that takes everyone on the same trajectory, something that as people aspire to and inspires people as a collective? I'm starting to question if maybe we are having a conversation that doesn't look at that. Do we have leaders or do we have administrators? I think... something that he said really struck a nerve about whether Namibia can say, you know, we have leaders. Because leadership is something that is very nuanced with selflessness, you know, with giving, with courage, with conviction and passion and commitment. And can we look at our leaders today, any of them, and really see these virtues in any of our leaders? If these things are absent, are we dealing with leaders or are we dealing with administrators?
Or I think political guys.
Or office bearers.
I hear you, Lee. in the vacuum, we are likely not to narrow on whether we want to focus on leadership or on leaders. But, you see, remember, the problem I think we are facing, we are talking, missing each other. Is that not a generational gap that is driving us to miss one another? Because the mission of the generation of my grandparents and the mission
of the generation of your grandparents, Kankwanyok, is and it was not the same. The question you should focus on your generation is your mission. Because if you don't focus on the mission, your generation, then there will be no cause to fight for. There will be no cause for you to attack. And I want to use that word attack because that's what you guys do. Attack the generation of your grandparents because those guys, they ran their race and they have fulfilled it.
Did they?
They did. Okay. Namibia is free.
Now, Namibia is free and we are here, but we're not understanding each other. And it's the question you asked Dade Amakali just now. Mm. You were saying, you know, did we pass the baton on?
Mm.
And you are asking about the mission for this generation.
Mm.
I think for Namibians, we must align ourselves to something that binds us.
Mm-hmm.
In order to execute any mission,
mm-hmm.
There's got to be motivation beyond my stomach, beyond me becoming a minister, beyond me sitting on a board. There has to be some kind of reflection and understanding that I represent people and interests, and I must embrace and adopt a collective interest for the nation. To be able to even have a mission.
Yeah.
The question is for this, I don't think we can speak about a mission for this generation without addressing how this generation and the previous one fell out. Primarily because
okay.
That generation is still very much in charge of
everything.
Of, I wouldn't say everything, but I think
he's a bitter generation. Don't
I wouldn't argue. You know, I want to actually let me say this.
Mm.
I don't think either generation should feel that sense of entitlement over what Namibia is. Not just for me or for the next person. It's a collective. It's for all of us.
Mm.
So I think on both sides, there's this really stubborn attitude of it's our time now, the young people. And then those, the previous generation, we fought for this country.
Mm.
You know, there's got to be, why? Why did you fight for the country?
Mm.
What was it that you wanted to achieve besides being in a posh position? What was it? What motivates any of us today to get up and want to do something for the country?
Mm.
This is the problem. We don't have that ideological cohesiveness. We don't have, like the Americans would have, the American dream, for example. What is ours?
Mm.
Because each president, for example, came in with their own idea of where the country should be headed. And, you know, different factors really prevented everybody from being part of this dream, partially because he who dreams the dream, you know, perhaps decides, like he said, some people, yes, some people can be part of the vision because they agree with me. It shouldn't be.
Mm.
I can be in a room with people I don't agree with, Namibians. But if we are aligned to understand that we want to make sure that in the next 10 years, Namibia becomes a competitive, you know, economy in SADC and on the continent, we, all of us, need to do ABDC. And we should all be able to listen to each other. There's a conversation that's happening about the economy, but do we involve everyone's input? Things like that.
Okay, can we do it this way?
Tatewa, before you go further.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say the point that she's making or the question that you ask. And we are saying that the generation of Kankwanyoka is angry. Yes, but why are they angry? You are. What is the statement you make? You say they are they organized to take over. But from whom are they going to take over if the older generation don't want to leave power?
Are you saying they don't want? Why are you saying they don't want to leave?
Because you said they have done their part. They have liberated the country. The country has been free for the past 31 years. If we could, our leaders could be good. What is the statement? The right word that I want to use. Be kind, like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela's aims, may his soul rest in peace, was to free the South Africa. Once he freed South Africa,
he took over the power.
Mm.
And after one term, he said, no, I have groomed somebody.
Mm.
I can't carry on because my aim was independence. That I have achieved. Let me give over to somebody to carry over.
And that's leadership.
And that is leadership. But if you are having a person that is, I don't want to mention ages, but I think maybe we should put up age limit in politics and say, if you reach 75, please go home.
Even 75?
75?
Because you find people that are adult, you find people that are 90 and they are still in parliament. I'm trying now to, I don't want to hate people now.
But we should. We should be able to have those difficult conversations.
What I want to say is this. People must leave leadership, political leadership position, let them go and give attention to their grandchildren. Some of the people are having great-grandchildren, but those great-grandchildren does not even know their grandfather. Because their grandfathers spend most of their time in
there. There are also mothers.
And grandmothers, So when are they going to pay attention to their grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Let them go home. But you find them making political statements. You, if you are complaining, go make business and start generating money. Why do you want to be employed? Why don't you leave politics and go and make business also? If you know that the youth can go and make business, you have been in position. If you have been in parliament for 15 years as a cabinet minister and you have not achieved anything, what are you going to do after 15 years when you are trying to keep on power, in the position of power? If you stay for two terms and you can't achieve anything in that two terms, I can honestly tell you cannot achieve anything in the next 5 years or 20 years again. Some people have been cabinet ministers since 1990. For 31 years, what is there tangible that you can prove that, yes, I have done this, I have done that, I have done that, I have done that. So somewhere.
I thought Kanyoga's generation was the worst one, but yeah.
But before you go far, these are your political leaders. And I ask him this question, is this how you guys train yourself?
You see,
that you don't evaluate your achievement, that you don't validate that you should stay in power. Is this how you guys in your political bureau train yourself? Because you are the political guy here. Because they can't leave because of how you groom each other. I don't know how, because they refuse to leave because of how you guys groom and teach each other.
I should say, like I said, and I'm going to repeat it again. People don't want to leave the position of power for insecurity reason, because they are insecure. They are not comfortable.
Insecure in terms of what?
What will happen after they have left office?
Are you guys thieves? He's repeating the same thing, and I wanted to ask you, are they going there to steal, or why are they so scared to leave?
There is no need for us to agree or disagree. That's why we are having a conversation. Now, I want us to look at it this way. Let's handle the political aspect of leadership, and we come to the economic aspect of leadership, because so far what we are talking about is political leadership.
Thank you.
And we are missing, in my opinion, another aspect of leadership, because it's like we are saying the only way you can make a contribution to Namibia is through politics. What is this that is making us, myself included, your generation, the two of you's generation, miss the bigger picture, which is the economy of the country? When you look at your generations, who are the activists in the economic space? Don't we know them? Do they exist? If they don't exist with the same vigor, we see activists in the political space. Why?
I think there's some people who are really trying. I don't want to mention names. I think there's people that have been trying to speak sense to power about the money decisions that we're making as a people. Whether they're being heard, whether the platforms that they speak on, I know Twitter is one. We've seen a lot of people, economists, really try and reach out to policymakers. There's different, I think there's really a community of people, I think, but I feel they're in a silos because, as you rightfully said, there's this huge attention around politics. And I think it has to do with the culture that we've inculcated over the last...
But it's okay. Let's not conclude that it's wrong. I'm just trying to understand whether that is the running factor of your generation, that you first want to address the politics before the economic space.
And I think that makes sense because everything else revolves around politics, every decision.
That's your generation's point of view or point of departure.
I think that's the realistic, for me, that is what is realistic. If you look at how we align ourselves and our thinking and our doing, it comes down to a political decision that has to be made somewhere.
Okay.
So I think people understand that to get to have a conversation and a say on a particular industry, on a particular space, we first need to iron out this thing called politics. But I hear your argument in terms of saying, okay, why so much attention in one space? And I think the onus is on young people because they effectively want to, they see themselves as the de facto leaders of today and tomorrow. They need to start to want to own other spaces where you might not have access to resources immediately. I think that's why people gravitate to politics, because the chances of having a good salary, being well taken care of financially, these things are motivating factors why politics might be attractive to people to first want to go into those spaces. But I think a young demographic that is really interested in moving the country forward should not pick and choose which space they want to occupy. I think there's spaces in sport. Our sports sector is one that has really for years been crying out for help, and I think there's so many young people that can play a role, a decisive role, in where we see ourselves as a sporting nation. The same with art, even with developing a cultural identity that is, you know, one Namibia nationhood type of a thing. I think there's other spaces that we're not looking to when we speak of, as young people. And I think that's that's probably the difference, and that speaks to a concern, I think, for me. Why only politics? Why aren't we moving around into other spaces? That's the question that this generation has to answer.
All right.
Come quite younger.
You look, when you come to the economy, you don't need activists. You need participants. Because in a transaction, there are two people, the supplier and the consumer. So we don't need people going on about activism. Let me give you this. UNAM every year enroll more than 10,000 people. Those are your economic activists. Because these people are willing to learn something to come and contribute. So if the youth are going to school, because now, even if at the village level, if you're looking for somebody to look after a kid, it's going to be very difficult. Because every kid want to inquire, I mean, want to attain certain skill to be a valuable somebody to the economy. It's no more about you looking at me like I'm cute or anything. No, if you don't have the skill, you're useless in the current economy. So we are trying to participate in the economy. And our participation is the message that's supposed to tell you what we want to achieve. And if we are going to school, if we are attaining skill, and you there, you are not meeting us halfway in terms of policy because you are in charge. And that is where the mismatch lies. Now you want us to graduate and again can become activists to make noise to tell you to do things. No, we showed you. I showed my granny. I showed my village.
I
came from Kettle to go to school. I walked 10 kilometers to go to school. That is my activism to acquire this skill. So now, and that is where the mismatch, your failure to understand that I went to school to participate in the economy is where the problem lies. You tell me, after I graduate, get an internship. If I don't get an internship, then nothing happens. So do you see the mismatch? You're now in charge of a certain place that come up with policies that make the environment so beautiful for every seed that goes to in the ground, that goes to Varsity, NIMT, and VTC to germinate any time of the season. And if you don't, then I'm going to come for you. And I come for you every day that you haven't prepared the soil. Their seed did their part. They are in the ground, but they aren't germinating because you're in charge of policies, but you haven't prepared the ground. Now you want us to demonstrate, to say, yeah, we have degrees. No, we showed you by going to school, by acquiring skill, becoming relevant to the economy. That is our activism.
So that is the reason why you have decided, if you are not going to move,
we're going to push you out.
Makari, you're in trouble.
We'll be able to defend ourselves.
No. My type of pushing work like this. Yeah. My type of pushing, I don't want to push you.
Yeah.
That's why I run a campaign that I want to educate everybody to understand that I'm going to school to become valuable to the economy, not to you. I want to be competitive. When you talk about the labor force, or the labor supply, demand and supply, you don't become part of the labor force if you don't have any skill. You are not even an employee. You don't get counted because you have nothing to offer. Unless you have the physicality, but the current economy does not require physicality even anymore. So you are not a part of anything. So do you see, we are now educating everyone to understand that the economy requires this and this. And I'm on the front of that. I want to educate everybody to understand the economy requires this and this. And that's why I'm not instigating people to fight at Walenga. As much as he's old and I want him to go. No, I want him to understand that in the current economic structure, this is the role I want you to play. I don't want you gone. Just understand that this is the role I want you to play. Maybe it will work. If it doesn't work, there are other guys who are going to push the other different way. I won't be part of them, but I'm doing my role to make your generation, my generation, understand the current economic structure, colleagues, require this and this. And until me and you acquire that, I don't think things will work out.
You see, in the world, elsewhere, it's always good to look how others are doing it. The politics is driven by the economy. But earlier on, we agreed that it's politics that is driving the economy. In the US, in China, in Russia, in the West, Europe, Canada, Australia, it's the economy that is deciding which way the politics is going to move. Do we know that? And if we do, what are we doing as a collective?
Tatewa, let me come in there.
As a collective, what are we doing as a collective?
Let me say, yes, it's economic that drives, not the politics, but here what we do.
No, that is elsewhere, but here, earlier, we agreed that it's politics.
Politics.
Mm.
Because what are we doing to address that or to...
Why do we think we can be an island and put politics in front? And disregard the economic aspect of it.
The politicians are in front.
Like I said.
Put there by who?
By us.
Good question. No.
My brother, the question is here, ne?
Yeah.
To use the analogy of the seed that is planted. The seed we plant in Namibia as individuals, 18 and above, is a vote.
Yeah.
That's your investment as a citizen. Now, it's because of that vote you want return on your investment. That vote is your investment. Now, the question is, do we know that our vote is our investment in the leadership of this country?
No.
Do we know that?
No.
Why?
Because even when they campaign.
Who are they?
They are the Amakalis. They campaign. And this is during the election, my program, I was so angry. Even I was even angry with the ECN. they consider voters' education as just the right to press the machine. That made me angry. That is not voters' education. No. Because you, voters' education is telling people that, yes, the decision you make, the decision is going to determine your future in terms of how resources are going to be allocated. That is number one.
Mm-hmm.
You are choosing somebody who know the value of your county resources, who has a plan on how he's going to allocate it. More importantly, equitable, and ensuring that this inequality is preventing is going to be there. And when people are going to campaign, they don't say that. But people still come. So do you see the gap? Because people are supposed to come to listen to the economic master plan. Because it's the only thing that matters now. We now have been liberated, isn't it? But people don't come to listen to that economic plan. But they still come. And that is what actually makes me angry. Because people do not understand what is voters' education. If they were educated so well, they won't come to listen to somebody who tell them that Don Grumbase, no offense, or I'm wearing green, or who is lifting a fist, this one is lifting finger. They won't come to listen to such nonsense. They will only come if that person is presenting a plan that your constituency, your region, your country, I'm going to achieve Vision 2030. That is what people will come to. But it's still Namibian. They will fall to the rally. When no economic plan is mentioned, just songs, people jumping, people insulting each other. It's a mess. And I blame it on ECN because voters' education to them is pressing a finger, pressing what?
Yeah, but there I want to vouch for ECN. Their role is not to educate you as to whom you should vote and why. Their role is to make sure that you know the material they are going to use. Whom you are going
education.
No. Whom you are going to vote, that is the work of the political parties.
And civil society.
And actually, the role he's describing is more for civil society than anything else. Because if you leave it to politicians, you are doomed. That's the reason why we are here today.
Because of slogan mirroring.
Yeah.
And we're talking about political literacy, which I don't know at what levels, if we have sufficient levels of political literacy in Namibia. And as you rightfully said, during elections, electoral season, the first thing we are worried about is Party A and Party B, our allegiance to this party as a result of what our parents had taught us, ethnicity, youth is now a factor. You know, if you see more young people in a party, you're more susceptible to go and vote for that party. But there's no ideological understanding. There's also no, understanding that when you are participating in the electoral process, you also expect, like you said, return on investment. How do we, what systems are in place for me to hold my elected officials accountable? And I don't think that is the responsibility of one party. Yes, ECN does have a role to play. They have a voter education department that actually looks into how they can reach voters, and primarily they are concerned with people understanding the process in terms of the technicalities. Where do you go
and
to vote? And the system that that governs us and these things. But it is the civil society, is the media, us. It is traditional authorities. It is the clergy and all other institutions that need to come to the party and say, okay, we need to educate, even the education system. I think I would propose, and I've said this couple of times, we need to have political literacy from grade zero to grade to tertiary level, so that when our young people grow into being eligible to vote, they have a thorough understanding, at least a basic one, about their rights, their responsibilities as citizens. There are so many people who don't know these things, and because there's not been a space for them to learn. There's people that, for example, dropped out of school at grade seven. There's no other space for them. They're in the streets. So where do they learn? And if we marry all these institutions, including the academia, and we start to teach literacy civic literacy and political literacy, I think these kinds of conversations will not lead to blows later on, where, you know, people are failing to understand what each or the other is saying. Mm. I think he raised a very important point, and it really speaks to that trying to move these two generations into one room.
Mm.
Yeah, I also want to add Comrade Wa, or Tate Wa.
No more comradeship, colleague.
Oh, okay, Tate Wa.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah. I think this generation have got a point, but if you look at things or the way how we do things, we don't really give people, many people who will disagree with me, we don't give people the platform to interrogate what you have achieved during your tenure. You just give the manifestos, and those manifestos, maybe you give 10 to each constituency, and that constituency might have around 10,000 people. It's very difficult for those people to get access to those 10 manifestos. And when it comes to election, you find us having what we call town hall meeting or whatever. And that town hall meeting, it's limited hours, 4 to 7 hours. And you find the hall is full of people that want to pose questions. Not everyone get the proper chance to post his or her questions and get a proper answer and reinterrogate again that question. That question, yes. No, you find people that no, time is up. The leaders have got another assignment to do. Then the next time, it's another town again. But here, questions have been left unanswered. There is no proper platform in the political leadership whereby people interrogate what you have done and what you have achieved and where you have, I shouldn't say failed, challenged, challenges, and how are you trying to address those challenges. So maybe those are some of the things that the leadership should start looking at. And people should be really, it should give people, but remember, if you also start interrogating certain questions, you become in the binocular. Then you become a target. But who's sending this boy?
But does that kill?
No, it doesn't kill, but sometimes it kills your political career.
Or your economic, opportunities.
Yeah, and your economic opportunity, because we started interrogating. You remember 2004, when I posted a question to the founding father, when we were campaigning for him to go on for the other term. And remember what you asked me, who sent you? Then I said, no, I just love the old man, and I want him to continue. And he said, that question that you asked.
So that's why it's advisable not to have a political career.
No, political career is there. It's needed in life. But the problem is that the political will to achieve the goal. Because even if you have got a person that has got very good ideas that he can execute, the problem lies with the political leadership that will make the final decision that, look, this is what we need to do. Let's implement it. Put it into motion. People come and sit on the ideas.
Now, the question is, at what level or stage, for that matter, do we review the progress or the progress of the leadership? And when we are talking about leadership in Namibia, let's focus on that one. Whom do we vote for? Do we vote for individuals or do we vote for political parties? Because if we know that, the answer will be clear.
All right.
In Namibia, we vote for political parties, not for individuals.
Yep.
But you want to demand answers from individuals. Do you think we'll get it?
All right.
But have you seen that when politicians or political party have failed somewhere, then you realize that political leader the head of that political party will say, but this was not my decision, it was a collective decision. But when that political leadership of party have achieved something, in the leader will say, you see, me, my leadership, I have achieved this. I have achieved this. I have built road there. I have drilled boreholes. There, people are having water simply because they have achieved that dream has come to pass. But when it has failed, then he said, "No, it's not my failure."
Okay. Then the question is:
yeah.
Is it okay for us to continue to elect political parties instead of individuals? Are we cool with that?
Yeah, but I want to go back to the other one.
Which one?
To the review. When do we review?
Okay. Please go ahead.
Look, there is one of the most important questions. And again, this is where we differ, my generation and your generation. We want answers. We want you to review. But it's not being done. You know, that's why you can categorize me to say you are an activist. Because every day I come here, I want to see what...
But an activist you are. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not an activist.
But why do we have a problem with activism? What's the stigma? Why do we stigmatize it?
I really don't care whether there's a stigma or not. I'm just not an activist. Can we agree, please? I can continue.
I think you've
mislabeled him.
Apparently.
Now, look. And this is where we
remember, we are going to open the lines. They will...
Yeah, by then I'll be gone.
Accountability, you see?
You see now.
Look, as we are mentioning the economic part, we needed to progress. We have an economic survey. We didn't grow for the past 5 years. But nobody's being accountable. Nobody's answering to say why. But we're investing. So that's why now reviewing and assessing is so important. And the problem, as you mentioned, that is now, are we reviewing individuals or political parties? But the youth are here saying that, what did you achieve? Then now we are lost to say, who should we ask? Is it Tate Swapo or the people in Swapo? So do you see where now we are crashing? Because I'm coming, I want answers. But if I go to a certain council or governor and say that I work under the party leadership and instruction, then it confuses me. Then I'll be there demanding answers. Then me and the generation, we already disagree. Because for us, we don't want so many structures. I got to go through a party to get answers. It becomes so difficult now for our current generation and your generation who are protected in by a certain party. So that is where the whole confusion comes. And again, in Namibia, even if we want to review, we will review. If NSA is appointed by the current political party, if NSA is underfunded, so we will review. But then now you have the youth, you have my generation. As we are very, very simple and flexible, I can jump to go any extra to get the answers. But there is no answers. So that again brings the fight between the other generation and our generation. We are more flexible. I don't want to go through all the structures. Because it's useless. It's worth time. It's not efficient. And we're talking about efficiency. But you want to go through parties from Angela, then Nana, then what? Do you see? Then how long do I have to live? So the whole structures of the political party and the youth, it created the friction. That's why we are not agreeing. And the way we do things and the answers and the reviewing that need to be done and how you want it to be done and how the youth want it to be done, it created that whole friction, and we don't seem like we are finding answers because you are stuck to your political that yes, through the political bureau. Otherwise, no answer. May Hilman cannot tell you that yes, the party did not do this. You not say, woo-woo, no, the party. But we are saying, please tell us about that. Yes, no, you say no. It doesn't work like that. The party work like this. Then what do we do? You see the whole problem.
May Hilman Nkano, you see the one who's...
yeah, he's the spokesperson of SWAP, I think.
Who is accredited for the phrase that we did not fight to be poor.
Yes.
So you will always provide that shield that either you go through, if you want an answer for an individual in a party, it is impossible. Because she will tell you have to go through the party structure. We are a party. But here you have now the masses asking answers for an individual who is in the party.
Were you born to be poor?
There's no way. Giving all this energy. No, there's no way. No.
You were born to do what?
Huh?
You were born to be what?
I don't want to align it to one word, to say it rich or anything. No, I just want to contribute and live a good life.
What is a good life?
Rich. In your a rich one, life. A rich one. A, good, a rich good life. Yes.
Yeah, not really. It's not enough.
People right. don't eat peace and stability.
Yes, I want to tell you that they keep feeding us. And now we are full. But yes, it should be there.
Mm. But remember, you are speaking to your peers. They are listening to you.
Yes.
You are speaking on their behalf. You are here to speak for them.
This is such a big role, colleagues. This is such a big role.
It is a big role.
Yeah, I'm speaking
whenever,
for them.
Whenever you find yourself on a platform like this one behind the mic, you are not speaking for yourself alone.
Yeah.
You're speaking for your generation.
Yeah, right? And just maybe to add to that, but I just feel like we are more flexible. We are more... There is a term we
to an extent that you are flexible to be poor, right?
No. We don't want to be poor.
It's
we,
flexibility
that's
of yours.
That's why I'm standing here is allocation of resources, making it not. It's not about equitable living inequality. It's just that the youth who do not have accumulated.
Is your generation not breathing?
Hmm?
Are you saying we have a knee on your neck?
Dawalenga,
please. Is that what you are saying?
Huh? So we want access to resources, but you created so many barriers for us to get there. I have to go through a party structure. I have to wear a flag. I have to lift up a fist. But I went to school. I'm equipped. I have the technical know-how.
No, but that is beyond the party. There you are supposed to go directly to government. Why are you bringing the party?
Does that separation exist? Does that separation exist?
It does.
Where is it?
In Namibia.
No.
There is a whole government and a SWAPO party.
The lines are blurred.
Are they?
Why are you saying that? Argument.
Why are you saying that? You seem to be agreeing with him.
No, I think I hear the argument. Okay. I hear somebody saying, you know, it's very difficult to see. There's this phrase, and it's been a currency for many people. It's cold outside of SWAPO.
Mm-hmm.
People cannot just make that statement in, you know.
You are now speaking for him.
People cannot just make that statement, and it's not just rhetoric. It actually has been applied.
Let's
you
take
know,
a call.
Species.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have come to the end of the conversation there that we were listening to. We were listening to Tate Amakali, we were listening to Tate Wa, we were listening to Kankwa Nyoka, we were listening to Lee. Now, the reason that I put this up is that I think that this was a very, very, very insightful conversation. And that is G, you can call back. Good evening. It's cold outside of SWAPO. Hello?
I'm telling you.
We did not fight for this country to be poor.
That's what we get every day. I'm telling you, that's what we get. You see, that's what they are telling you. Like,
people don't eat peace and stability.
No. Listen.
Yeah.
The late Hagee said, no, nobody must be feel left out.
Yeah, nobody's left behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Behind. Then you lay down and you're saying, no, government is not God.
Yeah.
Go and create your own job.
Go and create your own job. Nobody should be left behind, but you can come with us if you are bringing your own car, your own food, your own stability. You must come with us if you have your own things.
I'm telling you, that's why I'm saying, And then you see the lady where they're putting, you see the thing is that you are saying, that, you know, I thought it's I think it's Master Amakali who's saying, no, they feel like if I give you a chance, maybe you'll become after me. And this is what is happening. That's why I was telling you that, you know, they are eating with their what?
Their peers.
Exactly.
Akankwanyuka asked, why are you insecure? Are you thieves? Why are you afraid to go down? Why are you afraid to leave office? Are you thieves? Are we going to uncover things in that office that will point to you being a thief? So now you understand why I wanted us to listen to this one, eh?
Yeah.
You were laughing many times, ne?
Very important the whole time, I'm telling you. I was like loading on my car here alone. And the thing is that, you see, this is a thing which every day we are talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need really about their money and whatever.
Mm.
No, what we want is a policy which is giving us a chance.
Yeah.
To do
an
something.
Opportunity.
Opportunity.
Mm.
But you know, the thing is that what they are doing to us, they don't care because they are benefiting in what we are going through.
Yeah.
I can tell you, it's that difficult for us to have a housing in Namibia with a small population which we are having. No.
It's not.
Exactly. They know what they are doing because who's going to lend their flat in Chomuse? Who's going to be there if they give her enough house?
Apparently, there's an agent. There's an agent. The agent is working for the minister. How? Hey, real estate.
My friend, we know. We know. That's why we are saying that.
But the question is, are we prepared to be leaders?
We do.
Are we prepared?
We have capable people. Look.
If we are so prepared, then how come we don't have our own mission?
No, it's just time. You know, ne?
What do you mean time? 35 years?
Look. Yeah. I think.
Or we can say 20 years. Yeah. We can say 20 years.
Listen. How long does it take Botswana to be the way they are today? How long does it take for even
Botswana has Zambia? U.S. aid.
No. Even Zambia.
Botswana has U.S. aid.
Guys, no. That's why I was telling even like that. That, you know, leaders, they break the rules. Because they know that the rules is against their people. And the people, they break the rules for... So their people can benefit. And the manager, they follow the rules. And we have manager here in Namibia. We don't have leaders.
We have managers.
If Akaende can do it. With 5 years.
Yeah.
How much is the kwanja now? Comparing to Namibian dollars.
Very a lot. It's 180 million is equals to... To how much? To 3,500, I think. So.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
That's the quantity now. If you used to have a 1,000 in Namibia and then go to Zambia, hey, you are a rich man. Now you are poor. Because it's just Akaende. With a short three, not even 10 years. You see? If Abraham can do it, a young man from Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Who are we going to do it?
As we're even having...
We have capable people.
We have capable people.
It's what I'm telling you. Yeah, they are not given a chance. This is what happened to the lack of Yoruba and the others. It's the same issue. That the people...
Is it advice to put bitter people in leadership positions?
No, they want the people to be controlled, you know.
No, but is it advised? If you are talking about, if these were your children, and you see now that the older children, they might be a little bit corrupt, but at least they are happy and they are good people. And then the middle children are just the product of that. And then the younger ones are very, very bitter. They are very bitter. They are aggressive. They are angry. Which child would you put in leadership? Would you put and angry one in leadership?
If you put an angry one and bitter, it's also going to take a revenge.
You see.
Okay?
So, but that's the thing.
No. Who makes that person to be bitter? What
he
makes them?
Hey, but just because somebody
look
harmed
here,
you.
Look. Not about harming you. The thing is that you did something.
You sound like I'm quite your guy. Dala, like, no.
Listen, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
If you're eating a meat in the house, then the kids are watching you. Next time, the kids are wearing your shoes because you are the one who eating. Then you find the... That is a product of fish lot. We want to blame those guys, but no.
Mara, even if we are looking,
that's the one who started the show.
Okay, yes, but even if we are looking,
they're even supposed to be out already.
But even if we are looking, even if we are looking,
they are still doing the same.
But even if
still doing the same up to now.
But even if we are looking at the people that are being caught mostly in doing bad things, right? Like, which generation is it?
Exactly. Who created those kids? Who are bringing those kids?
Are we blaming the parents of are we blaming the parents of the kids, or are we blaming the kids themselves? Because the kids themselves, they also have their own minds.
You learn from the best, huh?
I know. Do we really learn from the best, then? Do we learn from the best, or is that what we say to make ourselves feel better about being bad?
No, we are as individuals, we are having also ourselves. How can I say, self-control?
Yeah.
Like, if you feel you want to be part of that, then you can join it. Look, we have a good example here. People, we are like looking at them down. Like, you know, because we know the pain control, but they are just playing also on their, they are dancing on their music, but they know what they are doing. Like Nekundi.
Yeah.
Nekundi, up to now, everybody was surprised by Nekundi. I'm telling you, this is like a form, not the good which we know.
Yeah.
You see? Those are things which really, I'm telling you that we are capable people. Only that the people are being controlled like a remote control in our country. And if you are not dancing to their tune, you have to go. They will create anything. You see? But seriously speaking, I'm telling you, I was like, the way, but those are the best ways we need. In the national level.
Kangwanyoka is like, no. Apparently, we are the hustle generation, which means that, most of what we are doing, right, is to generate income. But why do we need to work so hard like this, right? To generate this, to the maximum. I feel like most of our young people, are suffering by mental disorders because of what we are going through financially.
We are going through.
Yeah. Because the strain that is on us, imagine you are working 10 jobs.
Elizabeth, I can tell you now, Namibia, look, even a teacher is having a side herself.
Teaching the kids.
Let me give you the one in Owangwena.
Yeah.
They are doing also Ngungula.
Oh, you see.
A teacher. Just imagine. Then you bring it here in Windu. A Kasekele tell somewhere in there. He's having an order with me.
Exactly.
Do you want to tell me what? Now you why people have to be having said themselves if they are
happy,
and those are people who are working. What about those ones who are not working?
So even the ones that are working are even taking up our spaces.
Exactly. And
they are taking up our parts.
Ask a nice question about, I think he asked the lady. He's saying, no, why the people young youth, when you go to Kadutura, you find them at a bar.
Why?
Do you think where they can go if they are not having anything to do? The soccer field,
there's no soccer field.
If you go there, the security already there. You are not given a chance. So at a bar is where you find the what?
Your peers and your chance.
No, even to watch a soccer.
Yeah.
Because remember one thing, that in the Kabashi, there's no electricity.
Yeah.
You have to go, you see? No, what do we do to tell the people? This is
our circumstances.
Everything within you from Namibia going through is our own made. That's our position which we are playing with our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot tell me that you want to take 18 years old from school to become a great fan, a fan. To start a business. But you have people who've been there for, like Mandume and the others. Who are helping already companies, but they are not getting anything.
They are not getting a chance.
I'm telling you, then you have 5 years old getting a tender with his father.
Yeah.
Do you think that even fund is going to reach everybody? No. They are going to the pocket of the people who are already having.
Yes.
Yeah. That's perfect.
I hope you are feeling very angry to be a Namibian, because that was the point.
If you listen to that one, if you listen to that audio, it will make you angry more. Because I'm telling you, that's the effect which we are, because you think, you are only one who's in
suffering.
In trouble.
Yeah.
Suffering.
And then you but hear it and then you're like, oh my goodness, we are in trouble.
Like, oh God.
Oh my goodness.
Where are we heading?
Exactly.
Where are we heading, you? As a Namibian people.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, then.
Ciao, ciao.
Sharp.
All right, Namibian youths, Namibian people, let us find a mission, guys. Let us find a mission so that we know exactly what we are fighting for, and let us fight collectively. We're not talking about aggression here, because our fight is not a physical one. Our fight is a mental one. Our fight is a financial one. Our fight is finding a space that we can accommodate. We, as the people of Namibia, finding a space where we can accommodate and where we can be accepted and we can accept others. That is part of our fight. But, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you guys farewell. I'll see you guys again tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the evening. Ciao, ciao.